entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Boom, 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 boom.
Just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, do that. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me, my goodness gracious. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Well, I guess it's good that our good government under George Bush has taken upon themselves to create the Department of Homeland Security. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, and, Here's the proof of it. And you got to consider, you got to look at, you got to remind yourself of the reasons. What are the things that make it a good thing in the Bush administration? What are the things that make it a good thing? M-O-N-E-Y. That would be money. That would be money. Because you see, the Homeland Security Department is supposed to be guarding, patrolling our borders and guarding against terrorism. When really the battle is within. And the battle within the Homeland Security is the battle to keep its employees from stealing, from bribing, from smuggling, from all kinds of crimes. Ain't that a blip? Ain't that a blip? They're spending more time trying to keep us from stealing. Americans, that is, from stealing. I'm going to talk some more about this. You need to hear this when I come back. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
For a look at the world news. For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates, weekday mornings 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Rediscover the true spirit of Christmas. See the national touring production of Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. The timeless Dickens tale comes to life as a treasured holiday experience. December 15th through 18th at the Fox Theater. Join literature's best-known curmudgeon, Ebenezer Scrooge, on his unforgettable journey to discover the true meaning of Christmas. The Los Angeles Times says this production makes you feel like you're seeing and hearing the story for the first time. Bring the entire family for an entire evening packed with old-fashioned holiday fun. December 15th through 18th at the Fox Theater. The national touring presentation of A Christmas Carol. Reserve seats are on sale now at the Fox Box Office and MetroTix. Charge by phone at 314-534-1111 or online at MetroTix.com. Celebrate the season with A Christmas Carol.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Well, there's that your dancer, Presley Dixon. Comedy Cuban and Donnery Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Hey, Rudolph. Whoa-ho, Rudolph. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny. All of the other rain.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up and you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. All right. Let me break it down for you so that it stays forever broke. A semi-annual report filed to Congress by Homeland Security's Inspector General showed a sharp jump in arrests in the 6 months that ended on September 30th, with many of the thievery coming from a litany of staff misconduct. Check this out. Now, these are Homeland Security employees. We have immigration officials demanding sex in exchange for visas. We have airport screeners stealing money from tourists' luggage. We have federal air marshals. You know, the one that points out every single Muslim on the plane. They're the ones that are smuggling drugs and You know, employees from various Homeland Security agencies committing sex crimes, including indecent exposure and distributing child pornography. Huh. This is a three-year-old department, the largest department in our government. That's right. Boy George and the Republicans came to Washington to make government smaller. Don't forget, when you interpret that, up is down is up. Therefore, they created the largest agency in the history of our country, Homeland Security. They're saying that the problems were due mainly to a few individuals. Bunk. Bunk, bunk, bunk. Two TSA screeners were caught stealing jewelry from luggage. Another was found smuggling more than $80,000 in an attempt to avoid reporting income brought into the country. Another team of four screeners targeted Japanese tourists until one was caught stealing up to $1,800 from checked luggage. Two air marshals were caught by FBI agents, found that the marshals had sought and accepted a bribe to shepherd 15 kilograms of cocaine through airports. Two guards at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement prison sold alcohol and cigarettes to the illegal immigrants in their custody. Now, ain't that a blip? We're arresting you and jailing you because you've broken the laws of America. Let me break the laws while I have you here and make some money off of you. Ain't that a blip? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. It's like, goodness, everything that they touch turns to crime. Everything that this administration touches turns to crime. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
The rest of the day to you.
Thank you. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? We did. We better put them back in the pen because they're getting awfully vicious.
They can't, they let the dogs out. I don't remember asking the dogs to the party, okay? They let the dogs out, and then they act surprised that the dogs act like dogs.
Well, we better fence them up.
That's a fact.
Thank you.
That's a fact, D. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget, meeting for Wake Up Call volunteers this Friday at 265 Union here on the first floor. Please come on out Friday at 6 o'clock. I need you for the blanket drive. That is next Friday. We have a whole lot of work to do, a whole lot of work to do. Please come on out this Friday at 6 o'clock. The address is 265 North Union, or Union and Pershing. Come on out, first floor, right here at 265 Union. Be here 6 o'clock this Friday. And don't forget the blanket drive is next Friday. You need to get your blankets. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Now that Captain Kangaroo is out of the United Nations, I'm wondering what can we do to improve and repair the damage that he's done between now and the elections.
Okay, which Captain Kangaroo are you talking about?
John Bolton.
Oh, okay. What can
witch.
Yeah, well, you know. The question is what again, Michael?
The question is, nowadays kicked out of the United Nations, what can be done to improve and repair the damage that he has done? And
I don't know. I think we're going to have to wait a few days for the celebration and the parties to end that have been planned and are being engaged in as a result of his departure. I think the fact that he is not there is a healing piece right there. And it depends upon who Boy George appoints. The reputation of the United States will be dependent upon the person that they put in to replace him. The healing has begun already because he's no longer there. Okay?
That'll work for me.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Along the lines of, oh, my goodness. Up is down. Down is up. Up is down, and down is up. And I just really think that this really can only happen in this atmosphere, in this administration, in this world that we find ourselves in. A federal advisory panel on Monday rejected a recommendation that states use only voting machines that produced results that could be independently verified. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Let me say it again. This is a world that is upside down. This is an administration where up is down, down is up, left is right. A federal advisory panel rejected a recommendation that states use only voting machines that produce results that could be independently verified. Why in God's name wouldn't we insist upon that? Why in God's name wouldn't we insist upon that? This is a panel that was drafting voter guidelines for the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. They needed 8 votes to say, yeah, we need the machines to create a paper trail that could be independently verified. And the complaint was that, well, you know, we'd have to change all the software. Well, okay. Just feel me on this. We have a commission that voted against using voting machines that produce results that could be independently verified. They've said we need to leave the door open for cheating. You know, you just never know when you're going to need to get your cheat on. Up is down, down is up. And they said, well, you know, we just really don't have that many problems with the machines. Huh? My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kmart. Northbound 55 from Highway 40 on in, there's a report of a truck that's losing large rolls of carpet as it from its bed as it travels northbound on 55, so watch out for that. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, there's congestion going on there. Westbound 270 from 367 through 170 looks good. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, look for heavy volume. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic there. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to build at this hour. Westbound 5570 from Tudor all the way into Poplar Street, look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic as well. Some four-way stops are still not working due to power outages. Please treat these as four-way stops. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that make you feel all warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry. Sale ends Sunday, December 10th. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly sunny today, high in the lower 40s this evening. Blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow, low around 15 for Thursday. Blustery, colder, mostly cloudy in the morning, and partly cloudy by the afternoon, but the high only in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny with a high near 40. Currently, we have clear skies and 39 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 39 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. Get your lawnmowers, get your tractors, get your snow blowers, get everything that you need to make your house a home, and tell them I told you to.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Around the world, behind the story.
It's the award-winning
Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up and get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Glenn.
Have you ever had a chance to yet to review Jimmy Carter's new book about, I think it's Palestinian Freedom and Not Apartheid?
I have not had a chance to read it. I've read reviews of it, but no, I haven't had. It just came out.
Yeah, I just bought it the other day. I haven't had a chance to get into it, but I've saw several of the interviews that he did on NPR, and fascinating stuff about what's going on over there and what Israel is doing. And this man, I quote Jimmy Carter, is saying that Israel's apartheid is worse than what South Africa's was.
Well, I would beg to differ, but I understand the analogy.
What he used in part of, he said, because this particular instance, they actually built a wall around the Palestinians, a physical wall, and locked them in their own land.
I understand.
And literally.
I understand that the horrible apartheid that is being done against the Palestinian people. There's no question in my mind that there is an apartheid. I only take exceptions to what was done to Africans in Africa. I would not say it was worse.
He also talked about, well, one of the incidents he used of some of the things that they're doing, which I thought was, you know, it should be reported, but, you know, these people can't even get on the highway. They literally can't get on the highway, and they can't be in a car that doesn't have Israeli license plates on it.
Isn't that something?
I mean, they could be arrested. They could be thrown into jail. I mean, the things that they're doing over there, and he said that this type of behavior is widely known in the Middle East. He said, but it's a blackout in America. He said, you'd be surprised.
A whiteout.
What they know. Yeah, whiteout in America.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you'd be surprised as to what those people, he said, that's why they behave the way they behave, because they know what they know.
I listened to a group of young people talk today. Children that are Jewish children from Israel and young Palestinian children from the Palestine. And it was fascinating to listen to the one Palestinian little girl said, or young woman said, you all are the victims of an amazing propaganda machine. You need to come to Palestine. You need to see how we live so that you understand. And the little Jewish girl on the Israeli side said, it's just as bad as what's happening to us. And the Palestinian girl said, the world doesn't call you a terrorist just for existing. 10-year-old boys who throw rocks at tanks with grown men in it are put in jail. How on earth does that make any sense? How can you label a 10-year-old boy who throws a rock at a tank a terrorist and put him in jail? They didn't do that to the little boys in Belfast. The little Catholic boys, the little Protestant boys that were throwing rocks at tanks, they didn't put them in jail.
That's true. And he said also that the Israelis has literally thousands of women and children in prison.
Tens of thousands of people in prison. And explain to me how that makes sense.
And people don't
understand when they think a wall, they think, okay, a wall. This is a concrete structure that is over three stories tall.
Yep.
That cuts grandparents off from other grandparents, that destroys olive groves that are hundreds and hundreds of years old, that prevents people from going to the market. It is an obscenity beyond description.
And it's their land.
It's their land.
This is a dispute about the land.
It's their land. This is their land. It's their land.
It's like somebody coming to your block, Liz, and putting a wall around your house and then telling you you can't come out.
There you go. Oh, it's horrible.
That's how bad it is.
Oh, it's horrible.
And the fact that it's not reported here is a crime, in my opinion.
It's a horrible
crime because the opinion that Americans have are false.
Yes,
they're
false
opinions because it's not the truth.
Well, it's false. They're false opinion because they're not based upon any fact. They're only based on the propaganda that America has been given.
It's a shame.
It's a sin against God. It's
yes,
a sin against God. Thanks for your call,
right.
Glenn. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You've been out sick with a cold. I was going to tell you, be very careful because the doctor told me, you know, I was in the hospital for pneumonia, but I haven't been right since. And he said that it's a new strain out here that comes back on you, and they don't even know what it is.
Mm.
So be real, you know. Let me say this real quick. They're getting ready to have, I don't know if you heard about it, the young lady boyfriend that was murdered in New York by the police.
Sean Bell.
Yeah, she was on Larry King. Now, they're getting ready today to have a major protest. Not only in New York, I think Atlanta, too.
Because of the 88-year-old woman, that's correct.
I think, you know what, Liz? The police is totally out of control across this country. Now, that's the way I see it. And some of those guys, I think, what happened, they went overseas, come back. They got some of that mentality. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but something is happening here. And I think they were saying last night that they hope this don't escalate. Also, they must have been listening to your show because they were saying that they noticed in the community where the where the police live at, they don't have this kind of problem.
That is correct.
And they were saying that they need to initiate and have it where these police have to live in their community. Because they don't have all of this drug and all of this other problem when these police live in these communities. But also, Liz, let me say something. My granddaughter, I don't get a chance to talk to you much because I'm getting them ready for school. She is adamant about saying something to you. Just a minute, she's 5 years old.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. What's your name?
Micah,
Merry Christmas to you. Okay? Are you getting ready to go to school?
Yes.
Okay. Where do you go to school?
Washington, Montessori.
Good for you. Well, Merry Christmas, sweetie. And thank you so much for saying that.
Have a nice New Year.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. It makes sense that it's on a Wednesday, huh? 1-877-920-WGNU. Mac.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How you just doing today?
I am outstanding.
That's good. You got your light heat back?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm listening to you, E, here. Speaking of a rate hike. Now, people, they don't tell the people. Those polls that you see, UE owns those polls. Bell Telephone Company, the cable company, pays UE so much a poll to string their wires on that pole. And with that type of money coming in, there's no way that these alleys and the trees shouldn't be trimmed. They never mention that.
It's ridiculous. And Baby Boy Blunt coming into town, sitting over at the Homer G. Phillips nursing or seniors home, sitting over there saying, you know, we need to have a talk with UE about see if we can get them to address some of their policies about cutting the trees down. What are you talking about? You, the doggone governor of the state of Missouri, you tell them. You're the one that says we can't afford to give a senior a colostomy bag. It's too expensive to clean seniors' teeth. We'll cut millions of dollars for Medicaid. You had enough guts to do that, but you can't stand up to a billion-dollar business and say, cut the dang trees, and if you don't, we're going to sue you.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And speaking of the St. Louis police, crime in the city. when they move those super stations, you move your stations out of your city. This was one of the problems right there. And last night, maybe it's good that the police move out the city. You know, Warren shot his sister last night. He lived out in the county. So Warren shot a man in the hospital the other week. So these guns, not only in the hands of criminals, are in the hands of so-called professionals, are getting loose-handed with these guns.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Hi, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers. Tune in to my show, UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations, every Friday at midnight until 3 a.m. starting December the 8th. I assure you that this show won't be boring. That's Uncommon Facts and Observations at midnight until 3 a.m. December the 8th, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi. This is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Maria.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My name is Liz Brown. My show is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. And don't forget, in the next hour, we, of course, are going to have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch report on the condition of the schools. We're going to talk about that with Peter Downs. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have a discussion about charter schools. Two different discussions, actually. We're going to have a guest on at 8:30 and a guest, we're going to have a guest, on at 8:30, Robert Boston, to talk about how the Americans United for Separation of Church will, their response to a United States Supreme Court's refusal to hear a case from Maine on charter schools. And then at, of course, then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a person by the name of Elliot Mintzberger. He's with the People for the American Way, and he's talking about a lawsuit that is being filed in Arizona about pertaining to vouchers. So the St. Louis Public Schools Watch at 7 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock, a voucher discussion, a story about a win against vouchers, and a story about a potential win against vouchers. That will be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And here's another heads up. There, Joan Cheever, she was on my show last week. She's the author of Back from the Dead, One Woman's Search for the Men Who Walked Off of America's Death Row. Her talk was postponed because of the weather last week, but it is taking place tonight at 7 o'clock. The address is 1075 McDonald Boulevard. You need to come on down and listen to Joan Cheever. She was on my show last Thursday, and she will be in, she's in St. Louis to talk about her book, Back from the Dead. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget about the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive volunteers meeting is this Friday at 6 o'clock here at the station, 265 Union on the first floor. Come on down. I need your volunteers. I really, really, really need you. We need the Blanket Drive is in a week or a week from Friday, so please come on down on Friday, this Friday at 6 o'clock, 265 Union. Put it on your calendar. Tell your friends. You'll be getting your T-shirts then for the Blanket Drive volunteers. Come on down to 265 Union. That's North Union, Union and Pershing, 6 o'clock. Meet me on the first floor. We'll have our meeting for the volunteers. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Craig, good morning.
Hey, Liz, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I could be doing better, Liz, if I had electricity.
You don't have electricity?
Not yet.
Where do you live?
At Goodfellow and West Florissant.
Goodfellow and West Florissant?
Mm-hmm.
You live at Goodfellow and West Florissant?
Yes, Liz.
And you don't have any electricity?
And I was just listening. They were saying it's still like 60,000 people.
They lie.
In the city of St. Louis?
They lie. There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
And Liz, I wanted to call and let you know that some of my neighbors who are elderly, they have they don't have gas stoves. They have electric stoves. So they have no heat, no means of heating, you know, getting any warm.
Has the National Guard been by your area?
Nope. They sure haven't.
And you've been you've had no electricity since when?
Since that first night. What was that, last Wednesday?
Oh, my word.
Oh, and Liz, I was wondering, what percentage of the people who are still out now are black people? That's what I was wondering.
I don't know. I don't know.
I bet it's a high percentage. I bet it's in the 90s.
I don't know.
But I just wanted to call and let you know that
there's
know.
Going to be a hearing. I believe it's on the second or third of January about UE and their rate hike.
Okay.
You need to be one of the people that attends that meeting.
Oh, Liz. That's a good idea, Liz. I was listening. They were saying that the Public Service Commission is in town investigating this power outage.
Yeah, they're trying to the same Public Service Commission that ordered UE to take care of these trees after what happened this summer. And now they're coming to town saying, oh, yeah, we probably need to talk to them again about what they do with those trees. You think?
They didn't do anything. All right, thank you, Liz.
All right, thank you, Craig. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. There is a story on the front page of there's a story on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And it's a story about black authors. And I think I would like to have this discussion with some black authors. I would like to have this discussion. Should books written by black authors be in the section of African American authors at bookstores? Or should they be interspersed amongst all of the other books? I am of the belief that, of course, there should be an African book section. I want to be able to go and look at the books that are written by African artists. It's important to me. It's important, I believe, it's important to my heritage. It's important to my culture that people be able to go to an area that of authors that write about issues that matter to them, that impact their lives, that reflect their lives. I don't see that in any way as something negative. I see that as something empowering. And here's the thing. If this is an issue about, well, you know, you want more white people to buy your books. Okay. I understand wanting to sell more books. But ask yourself this. We live in a society where you go to the Galleria full of black folks, with their pocketbooks and their wallets open, spending money all over the Galleria. It's the holiday season. They have what they call Santa Claus. They don't bring African Santa Clauses into the Galleria. They bring in white Santa Clauses. Why? Because they believe that their white customers will not sit their children on the lap of a black Santa Claus and have their picture taken. Not going to happen. White marketers say all of the time that their customers are not going to buy. GQ says that their customers, that consist mainly of white males, are not going to buy magazines, as many magazines with black people on the cover of them. They're not going to do it. So I ask you, if the average white reader sees a book with a black picture on it, black man, black woman, love novel, are they going to pick that book up and buy it? So what will black people begin to do in order to chase after this? We will lose our images of ourselves on the covers of our books. Once again, it will be about assimilating as opposed to embracing the culture that we are powerfully part of. There should be a black section at the bookstore, at the library, African American authors. Absolutely. I want to know. I want my children to know. I want the future generations to know of how prolific of a group of people we are. What kind of writers we are. How we view the world. I want that. That's a discussion that's on the front page of the New York Times. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Peter Downs will be joining me for the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You don't want to miss that hour. Oh, and speaking of authors, I'm going to have author Peter Kuntz on my show on Friday. How cool is that? How cool is that? Friday, talking about his new book. Going to have him on the show on Friday. Oh, you don't want to miss that. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me.
Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Get ready. Here it comes.
This is KidCast.
News for kids,
by kids.
KidCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidCastRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susanna Pinkley. Have you gotten involved with KidCast yet? Now is the perfect time. Our website is a fun and safe place to visit online. I'll tell you more about it coming up. Don't go away.
I'm Natalie with this week's Brain Teaser. What causes a solar eclipse? To find the answer, log on to our website at www.KidCastRadio.com.
Bet you didn't know this.
80% of all the life on the Earth is found under the ocean surface. And the oceans contain nearly 99% of the living space on the planet. Bet you didn't know that.
Well, be back with more KidCast after this.
Drinking alcohol is a dangerous thing for teenagers to do. You can lose control of your actions and do things you wouldn't normally do. Sometimes you might not even remember what you did do. Your health and your life are put at serious risk. Please remember that the decisions you make now will affect the rest of your life. Be smart. Choose not to drink.
A message from the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, working for healthy bodies, safe communities.
Matches and lighters are not children's toys. They are tools for grown-ups. They're not made for girls and boys.
More than 90,000 fires a year in the United States are started by children curious about fire, and 3,000 of them are injured every year by fire play. Teach your children that matches and lighters are tools for adults and not toys.
They can start a fire, blazing fire that destroys.
Did you want to be on KidCast? Find out how at KidsCastRadio.com.
This is your KidCast Joke of the Week. What is a baby's motto? If at first you don't succeed, cry, cry again.
Bet you didn't know this!
To most people, flowers are beautiful. They like their smells and the way they bloom. But some people are creeped out by them. They have what's called anthophobia, the fear of flowers. Bet you didn't know that.
Are we there yet?
Games kids can play in the car.
Handwriting. One person holds out their hand and closes their eyes, while another person writes on it with their finger. The person has to guess what the second person is writing. Start with just letters, and if it gets too easy, move on to words.
Hi again. If you haven't visited the KidCast website, you've definitely been missing out. We've got entertaining pages from jokes to quiz questions. There's a page of interesting facts, a page just for your parents, and even a thing or two for your teacher. You and your friends could use it to play games if you like. We also have a monthly essay contest. You can win prizes and the chance to come to the capital city to speak at a statewide youth rally. There's a page on our website that tells you all about the contest. Plus, how would you like to be on the radio? All you have to do is let us know. Because KidsCast is done completely by, you guessed it, kids. Check out our website by heading to www.kidscastradio.com. Then check out this site.
Is drawing your thing, or just any kind of art? Well, here's a great site to visit. You can learn about some of the world's greatest artists. You can see their work and get tips on making your art better. They've also got a lot of links to other art sites. Just head to www.arts.ufl.edu. I'm Logan Moore, supporting for KidsCast.
That's it for this week. I'm Susanna Pinkley for KidsCast. Ciao!
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse,
reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News Update is brought to you by Centrum. I'm Peyton Colston. In Jefferson City, Missouri, state workers evacuated from their buildings because of heavy snow on the rooftops will return to work in those buildings today. Nearly 800 employees of the Departments of Social Services and Health and Senior Services work in the three Jefferson City buildings that were cleared Monday. Engineers found the buildings to be safe yesterday. There had been concerns that heavy snow would make the roofs collapse. Dozens of dogs from the Polk County Humane Society shelter staying in St. Louis. The Humane Society of Missouri brought more than 30 dogs to the St. Louis headquarters after a portion of the Polk County shelter's roof collapsed under the weight of ice and snow. The animals will be available for adoption at the Humane Society of Missouri's shelters. And St. Louis County government crews are checking on residents hard hit by winter storms. St. Louis County Police Officer Tracy Panis says officials conducted a door-to-door canvass yesterday to see if residents still without power were in need of supplies. She says some people have asked for food and are being provided with MREs. Panis says they've also been talking to people about the dangers of carbon monoxide poisoning and other risks associated with alternative heating sources. And that's a WGNU News Update brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum's balanced and complete. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. This hour's traffic is sponsored by CSI Miami on A&E. Westbound 70 on 94, look for an overturned vehicle. It's in the grassy median on ramp to the between the exit and the interstate. Eastbound 70 at Jennings Station Road and Goodfellow, there are reports of two separate accidents, both in the left lanes. Expect delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through 270, look for congestion there. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry to West Florissant, delays are possible. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for delays. Westbound 55, 70 into the Poplar Street Bridge is stacked. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow at this hour. Westbound 64 at 15th and 5570 split, look for delays there. Some traffic lights are not working due to power outages in the area. Please treat those as a four-way stop. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by CSI Miami on A&E. Don't miss CSI Miami on A&E. Five nights a week, that's five chances to see why it's the hottest show on television. CSI Miami, weeknights at 7 p.m. on A&E. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, partly sunny, high in the lower 40s this evening. Blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow, low around 15. Then for Thursday, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy throughout the day, highs in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, not quite as cold, partly sunny with a high near 40. Currently, we have 39 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 39. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call at St. Louis Schools. Watch with Peter Downs. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Boom, 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 boom.
Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here, of course, with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. So, board meeting last night. Talk to us about, we have a couple of minutes here before the first break here. What was this meeting about?
This was the administrative meeting, mm-hmm. which sets the agenda for the regular meeting, the regular public meeting next week.
Next Tuesday, yes. And what were some of the things that were set for the agenda for next Tuesday?
Well, there were quite a number. Some of the issues coming up, and that will be discussed, is there's a professional development program using computer modules teaching kids and all this. There's a proposal for a new sort of employee management system, mm-hmm. a time management system that they claim will save $7 million a year.
Okay.
We want to see how they come up with that figure. There was a proposal to ask the superintendent to set a calendar for us,
mm-hmm.
So that We published it, and for all of 2007, anybody interested, anybody in the public could see and say, oh, in the month of February, for example.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll talk about the budget, and they'll talk about athletic programs, mm-hmm. maybe. And in March, they'll talk about early childhood education. So people know kind of the topics and that and how we're overseeing the education of the district.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great idea.
There was a proposal from Donna Jones to survey the parents and teachers in the district to find out how they really feel about a state takeover of the district.
Excellent.
And there's some...
And that's going to be on the agenda for...
That'll be on the agenda.
Excellent.
For next week.
Excellent.
Yes.
Very
yes.
good. We'll be back. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. He screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" Jim streaks the field.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from LeClee School, Second Grade Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs, and we're talking about the administrative meeting that happened last night and the upcoming school board meeting that's going to take place on Tuesday of next week. So you're talking about some of the items that are going to be on the agenda for the Tuesday meeting, Peter.
Yes.
And I like the idea of surveying teachers and parents about how they feel about a state takeover, because I was concerned. I was listening to another radio show, and the reporter ended the commentary about what happened at the meeting last night with, because a majority of parents and teachers support a state takeover. Where the, you know, I'm not going to cuss on the school watch, but where the heck do they get, where would that conclusion come from?
Well, that conclusion comes from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It wasn't actually the Post was ostensibly reporting on a meeting of what's called the Special Advisory Committee on St. Louis Public Schools.
These are the Danforth people, the people that actually are the employer of, like, Ron Jackson, and the people
yes.
that are working with Francis Slay for a state takeover. This is a very partisan group that was selected by Kent King to appease some of the whining from Francis Slay about his loss from this last election.
Right, right. And that group, which is very partisan, and has been, its other co-chairman is Frankie Freeman, mm-hmm. who has jumped out endorsing the slate, you know, Francis Slay's candidates before he formally announced them in each of the last couple elections.
And members of the LAC Leadership Roundtable. These are the same people who were in charge of the St. Louis Public Schools when the St. Louis Public Schools plummeted in their accreditation points. Parents fled the district. Teachers fled the district. The buildings began to decay. All of these problems that are surfacing right now are the result of the majority of the board being run by LAC Leadership Roundtable members.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they got the St. Louis Community Foundation, which you might recall spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on a PR campaign for the former superintendent, Greg Williams. They got them to do focus groups and a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And to do those, they hired a couple companies. One of the companies they hired was the PR company that ran the campaign for Slay's candidates in the last couple elections.
And they were real good at that because they lost every time that they ran it, right?
So there's a consistent pedigree, at least, in the production.
So let me get this straight. This survey was run by the people that ran the campaign for Francis Slay's candidates.
Yes.
And the conclusion was, based on their survey.
Well, they had two things. There's a phone survey, and then there were focus groups. Right? The phone survey is just with registered voters. And the majority, 60% of the respondents in the phone survey, said they favor a state takeover. They think it'll mean more resources for St. Louis Public Schools.
Mm-hmm. What were the questions that were asked?
The most questions, I don't know. There's one I know because there's actually one voter who came to me afterwards talking about the survey. And the one question that really stuck in her mind was that they started off a whole bunch of questions with a statement. And the statement was, the county spends $7,500 a year per student, and the city is spending $11,000 per year. What do you think is happening to all that money?
Jesus.
Now, and that's just, and she came with that statement and said, you know, that's true, and it's not. You can go to the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education's website and go through the county districts and add up how much they spend and divide by the total of the number of students, and you find the county's spending an average of $10,500 per student. City spending about $10,900. A little bit more, but not this $3,500 gap that the pollsters put in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the pollsters, though, they set the stage with this big gap and say, what's happening to all that money?
Well, basically,
and then that leads to questions about mismanagement and waste.
But basically, they're setting it's kind of like a when did you stop beating your wife type of a question. You set the stage with all of what you're saying are the facts. And the logical conclusion from that would be, if those facts are true, then my answer is this. But the problem is that those facts are not true. So the answer cannot be an honest assessment of what's going on in St. Louis Public Schools if the facts that the listener is being, or the caller is being given, are false.
Right, right. And they asked a similar question in the focus groups. There are these focus groups of 40 teachers, I think it was 27 parents, 17 principals, in different focus groups. And one teacher came back and said that the same thing was presented to them. County, 7,500, city, 11. And the teachers objected. No, that's not true. We don't believe it. And they're told, well, assume it's true. Assume it's true then. And it's like, okay, so we're talking about something that doesn't exist then.
But then you're going to take my answer from this and say, therefore, they want a state takeover.
Right.
But we made them assume the facts were true.
Yes, yes. And the report from the focus groups, they did not report that teachers and parents, that the majority support a state takeover. From the focus groups, they said the initial response of teachers and parents was, no, they're opposed to a state takeover because it would be a loss of local control. Then as you get in the discussion, and there's this discussion of finances and the financial difference, they say, well, maybe a benefit of state takeover would be more resources getting to the classroom.
But that is certainly not a hue and cry for a state takeover.
That's correct.
That's not a hue and cry. That's hardly a hue and cry for, or a, it's hardly an honest fact or an honest statement from the Post to say most parents and teachers surveyed. Now, they didn't even say most parents. They said most parents and teachers support a state takeover. And that's absolutely not true.
Yeah, that's not true. And we don't know from the survey. The survey of voters, that the information was not presented in terms to be able to determine, well, of those surveyed, how many were teachers and how many of them supported state takeover? Mm-hmm. Or of those surveyed, how many were parents and how many supported state takeover?
And how
it's
many
simply
of those
presented
were
as a survey of voters.
And so how many of those people had kids in the St. Louis public schools? How many of these people were 75-year-old Southside residents that never sent their kids to the St. Louis public schools and completely dislike the St. Louis public schools and don't give a darn about what happens to them? We don't know any of that.
We don't know any of that.
Okay. So we have this. So now we have Donna Jones having the teachers and parents, St. Louis Public Schools, go ask them what they want with the state or how they feel about a state takeover.
Right.
Excellent. Excellent. So how would that work? Do we know how that's going to work yet?
No, we don't. Donna Jones wanted results very, very quickly.
Absolutely.
The superintendent said she talked to her about the timeline.
Right.
You want them quickly, but there's still certain practicalities on what it takes to organize mm-hmm. it, get results back, and analyze them. I think her discussion, her feeling is that this can be done in cooperation with the union. Stewards mm-hmm. can take the survey forms to all the teachers in the district, stewards mm-hmm. or principals, mm-hmm. can give them all, teachers to give to their kids to take home to the parents, mm-hmm. As well as teachers they'll get ones. The union can collect them from the teachers. Children can bring them back from the parents, and so
and then, and then a town hall meeting can be held.
Yes.
A town hall meeting can be held on that. So what are some other issues that are going to be on the agenda for Tuesday's meeting?
There will be reports on several things. There will be a report on the latest annual performance review that mm-hmm. came out last week.
Okay.
And I think there will be a report on what we've been hearing from this Danforth.
The partisan group, yeah.
Yeah, task force. Because they're going to meet again on the 15th. Even though there are some members of the school board who have been actively campaigning for a state takeover, I think the board as a whole has to have a response mm-hmm. to what's being said.
So, and that's going to happen on Tuesday. We're going to be
yes.
able to hear the response to that. Now, have you had a chance to take a look at some of those numbers that came out from the state about how the city of St. Louis is doing? Have you had a chance to look at some of those numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's you know, it's a different kind of reporting form than they've used in the past and a different scale.
Mm-hmm.
People have listened to us on the show, have heard us talking about the number of points going from 64 points down to 47, down to 36, mm-hmm. whatever. The state's not doing a 100-point scale anymore. Now they just say there are 14 standards, and how many of these standards do you meet?
Now, isn't that interesting? It's almost as if the state has said, because we've been able to effectively measure the decline in performance over a period of time, we are not going to be able to do that anymore. I mean, there will not be the ability to clearly describe how successful or unsuccessful a school district has been. Does this make it more difficult for that?
I don't know. I don't think it makes it that much more difficult. You mm-hmm. had, with the point system, you had 66 points for full accreditation,
mm-hmm.
And I think it was 45, might be off by a point or two, but mm-hmm. I think it was 45 for provisional accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
And under the annual performance review that came out last year,
mm-hmm.
we did not have enough points for provisional accreditation.
Right.
Now, this is just a snapshot, remember. It's not, we aren't actually being accredited now,
right.
but that if we were, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have enough points last mm-hmm. year. Now, with meeting five standards, we're in the same boat. You need to meet six standards for provisional accreditation.
How many standards are there?
Out of 14.
Out of 14.
So there is an ability to compare the number of standards necessary to the number of points necessary, mm-hmm. and we're relatively the same. Now, it does get more complicated than that. And this is... I don't think this system was designed just in terms of St. Louis Public Schools, but it is a much more complicated system, and you have to meet six standards, or there's progress points in standards. So it's possible to meet fewer than six standards, but show progress in other standards and meet the qualification to be provisionally accredited or fully accredited. And you could meet six, seven, eight standards, enough standards to be provisionally accredited, but fail to meet the standards on the MAP test and therefore not qualify for provisional accreditation and be unaccredited. So it's a much more complex...
And was the MAP test a determining factor in the previous assessments?
The MAP test was an important factor. There were several... You got points on several different MAP tests in the previous thing. So you did accumulate or lose points based on how you did on the MAP test. The emphasis now, I think, is more heavily on the MAP test than it was in the last one.
And what's your response to that?
It is what it is. I don't know.
I mean, the emphasis being more on MAP tests now than it was before.
Well, I don't think the MAP test really measures anything. That's my response. It's not at all useful in determining whether or not you're educating children. Because what you want to see is what you want to do is educate every child, not just a category and say, oh, okay, we're doing fine with a quarter of third graders. You want to educate every child. And what you want to see is that child improving their mastery of skills during the year. Mm-hmm. And the MAP test doesn't do that.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham's television special. Westbound 70 on 94, an overturned vehicle off the roadway, a grassy median in between the exit ramp and the interstate. Eastbound 70 at Jennings Station Road and Goodfellow, look for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic is starting to slow between Bermuda and Florissant Road. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through Spady, look for congestion going on there. Westbound 40 between Causeway and Hanley, look for no problems there. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, slight delays. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Marshall, it is stop and go. Northbound 50 at Butler Hill and 270. Look for that congestion to have been cleared. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers Mall. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from 370 to 94. Slow traffic due to an overturned vehicle on the westbound side of the interstate. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit into the Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 at 15th Street all the way into 5570, look for slow traffic there. Some traffic lights are not working due to power outages. Treat those stops as four-way stops. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham's television special. How can you experience joy at Christmas when your life is upside down? Hear the inspiring stories from parents who found peace at Christmas despite their sorrows. That's tonight at 6:30 on KMOV Channel 4. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly sunny, high in the lower 40s. This evening, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow. Low around 15. For Thursday, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy in the morning, then partly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny with a high near 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 39 degrees. Lambert Field is now reporting mostly clear skies and 38 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. St. Louis Schools Watch is up next with Peter Downs and Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else? Indeed, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You need a new dishwasher? Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. You need a great deal on a dishwasher? Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. Get down to Sears at 3425 Union and tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen, letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh, my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move. One day the engineer wanted a bite to eat. He let the monkey sit on.
Kwanzaa Holiday Expo is back. Celebrate the 40th anniversary of Kwanzaa with Better Family Life. December 9th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and December 10th from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at the West End Community Center on Union at Del Mar. Do your holiday shopping with vendors from around the country. Learn about Kwanzaa in the Kwanzaa House. See Pita Williams, Matif, and many more artists. Don't forget, we have activities for children. And best of all, this event is free. For more information, call 314-367-3440. That's 367-3440.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school. Second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful necklace, African necklace that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I am here with Peter Downs. My name is Liz Brown. We're discussing the upcoming school board and also some of the rankings that have come out about the St. Louis Public Schools. Let me get to a caller or two here. You're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Good morning, Peter. Ms. Brown, as I always tell you, the truth will set you free. Peter and Ms. Brown, I wasn't happy with what I saw last night with the president of the school board. I want her to know, Ms. Brown and Peter, that her shenanigans is not going to work. She disrespected Dr. Borshaw, as well as Peter, as well as Donna Jones. I wanted to hear what Donna had to say about the raggedy schools and the dirty schools. I expect those schools to go back to all those people they fired and get rid of that company they brought in, as well as I wanted to hear what Peter had to say. My mind is made up, Ms. Brown and Peter. Until her term is up, we have to deal with this. But until then, Peter and Ms. Brown, Peter, take the gavel out of her hand and give it to Donna Jones. My mind is made up. She has to go. Have a nice day.
And let's talk about the Sodexo effort last night at the administrative meeting. What happened with that?
Bill Purdy introduced the resolution to cancel the contract with Sodexo.
And what was his reasoning for that?
Well, his reasoning is that when you consider all the costs, is actually costing us more to get less done mm-hmm. with Sodexo. There are two parts to that. One, even back when Mayor Slay's people controlled the board and Vincent Shamel was on there, even Vincent Shamel complained about the work Sodexo was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had complaints all along for Sodexo of not just maintaining things, but also not even keeping things clean.
Dirty buildings. We're talking
dirty
about
buildings.
Dirty, nasty, dirty, dirty, dirty buildings. And
absolutely.
And what kind of environment is that for children? First of all, what does it do for children's self-esteem? What does it do for community self-esteem? And what does it do about the making a child, connecting a child to the educational process?
I think it hurts all of those, and mm-hmm. I think it's clear it does. And the one of the things. When we talked about the focus group earlier, and I think one of the things that was accurate with the focus group is that there is a lot of frustration and anger at the state of St. Louis Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that happens overnight. It builds, and it's mm-hmm. been building for years, and mm-hmm. we've talked about that. And that's how I got elected to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still angry and frustrated. And one of the top four problems they cited is the state of the buildings and how they're falling apart. They're dirty. The message that sends our children mm-hmm. about education is not important. That they are not important.
That's right. We don't give a dang about you. We don't give a dang about you. Go over there and pick up your book in that dirty, nasty building where the bathrooms are not clean, where there's no soap, where there's no toilet paper, because we don't care about you.
Right. Right. So that's a message we want to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's a message we have to change.
And what to me, Peter, is astounding and just profoundly naive and profoundly stupid is the response from Ron Jackson about Ron Jackson said, what does this have to do with the education of our children, basically?
Right, well, basically, Ron Jackson, Bob Archibald. So what does this have to do? Well, they said it doesn't have anything to do with the education of the children.
And now that, again, profoundly naive and profoundly stupid. Of course, the conditions of the buildings have to do with the quality of education, the type of education, and whether kids get educated. If that weren't the case, no school would bother to clean their schools. No school
right.
would have soap in the bathroom. No school would have toilet paper. What difference does it matter? We're just here about the books and educating the kids. That's nonsense. I wonder if Ron Jackson or Bob Archibald would send his kid to a school where there was no toilet paper in the bathroom and the teachers and the administrators said to him, what difference does that make? He wouldn't send his kid to
right.
He wouldn't send his kid to a school like that.
That's right. And I mean that's common sense. It's common sense backed up by research studies,
mm-hmm.
which have actually shown in schools where, you know, without changing teachers or principals, without changing curriculum, but just say, hey, we're going to make an effort now. We're going to spend more money. We're going to keep the school clean. We're going to keep it fixed. We're going to keep, you know, we're going to remove graffiti when it goes up on there. When a locker breaks or a toilet breaks or a sink breaks off, we're going to fix it right away and get it fixed. And students behave better, and academic performance goes up. You know, that's documented in research after research. So you don't always have science backing up common sense, but in this thing time you do. And it's more than naive, mm-hmm. I think, the response of Ron Jackson about
Archibald. And I said stupid, too.
You said stupid, too. But there's go back 3 years, 3.5 years, when William Roberti came into the district. And one of the criticisms that he made, and you remember a lot of criticism of the previous board he made then, and one of them was, oh, they've allowed deferred maintenance to get up to $60 million, that we have $60 million of repairs needed in our schools. That was in July 2003. May 2006, Craig Williams, another superintendent brought in by the slate, before the board said deferred maintenance was up to $300 million.
Jesus, God. Jesus, God. So in...
And last night, not just Sodexo, but it was brought up and saying, we aren't maintaining our schools. We have to spend more money to maintain our schools. Ron Jackson virtually shook his head and said no.
What did Veronica O'Brien say?
Well, Veronica O'Brien voted... she didn't say anything. She voted against...
Wait, but she didn't comment on this?
She did not comment on this.
How do you not comment on this? I mean, you commented on it. Bill Purdy commented on it. Donna Jones commented on it. Ron Jackson commented on it. And Bob Archibald commented on it. And Veronica didn't have bubkits to say? I mean, out of all of the barking at the superintendent, you know, the Borisov this, the Borisov that, doesn't even call her Dr. Borisov, Mrs. Borisov, doesn't call her, just calls her Borisov like they're at a, she's at a, I don't know, boot camp of some sort. She didn't have anything to say about this issue of maintenance.
She did not. But she did vote against putting it on the agenda.
What did Donna Jones have to say about it?
This is a very, very important issue to Donna Jones. And she had to really take the take the mic in her own hands on this one, because Veronica O'Brien would not let her, did not want to let her speak, and kept trying. And when she did start speaking, Veronica kept trying to rule her out of order. But Donna said her speech. She talked about if anyone who's been in these schools, you can see how filthy they are, how filthy bathrooms are. She cited examples of schools with ceiling tiles falling down that haven't been cleaned up off the floor, other things broken, in need of repair. Bathrooms are just filthy.
Wait a minute, and I gotta underscore something before we get back to what Donna Jones said. Peter, I'm staggered by the number that you stated. We're at $300 million in deferred maintenance. That means maintenance that has been put off.
Yes.
What the heck are we paying Sodexo for? How do we pay Sodexo the tens of millions of dollars to do work in this district and end up with being $300 million in the hole? How do we do that? What kind of deal with the devil was cut?
Well, in fairness, if there can be such a thing to Sodexo, there are two things here. One is Sodexo's mismanagement. That the way they manage things, and this has been reported from not just the current chief operating officer, but the former one, is there are a lot of small repairs. They put them off until they're big enough to contract to somebody else instead of doing them themselves. So that's one thing that adds to the deferred maintenance. The other thing, a real crucial thing for our district, by almost everyone's admission, is we haven't budgeted enough money for maintenance that's needed anyways.
Oh, that's right. We had those $100,000 salaries that we had to pay.
We had $5 million man we had to pay.
There you go. And $300,000 to Craig. I've never been a superintendent anywhere. Williams. My name is Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. We'll be back to continue our discussion. Stay with us. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
Time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline Washington, D.C., the FDA says adults under the age of 25 who take antidepressants appear to have a higher likelihood of suicidal thoughts. It's already known antidepressants may trigger such thoughts and suicide attempts in children and teens. The recent summary of data said when looking at people by age, it's clear there's an elevated risk for adults younger than 25. Doctors said the switch for people who turned 25 was an interesting development that could help determine an age limit for use of certain medications. In Dateline, Austria, as kids' dreams turn to Christmas trees, presents, and big holiday feasts, some Austrian children are keeping an eye out for Krampus. Krampus is Santa's evil sidekick known for his devil-like appearance. In parts of Central Europe, the duo are still part of holiday festivities, but last week when Santa was banned from visiting kindergarten children in Austria, those traditions were put under the spotlight. Some child psychiatrists say there needs to be a ban on Krampus, too. The Krampus character still roams the streets of towns and villages in early December. That's a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
The people, the issues affecting your life.
right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love that African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go to, I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. And, Peter, we talked a moment about it was interesting how one of the board members had there was only one board member that didn't have a comment about getting rid of Sodexo and the horrible conditions of the schools. We had stupid and naive comments from two of the board members, but only one board member didn't have anything to say at all. But the same board member did have something to say about another resolution that made it to the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, to us about this resolution.
This resolution is part of the consent agenda.
So it's a wonderful resolution.
It was brought to the board by the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be to declare as school board, school district policy that vehicles not idle their engines for more than 10 minutes around a school.
They're starting with buses.
The emphasis is on the school buses. We have 535 school buses that take kids to and from school every day. And this is something that actually the Parent Assembly of St. Louis Public Schools has been pushing for several years.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually federal law.
It's an
EPA regulation that you can't idle for more than 10 minutes. It is a city ordinance that you can't idle for more than 10 minutes.
Really?
But our school buses have been idling and idling and idling.
And idling does a couple of things. We have the pollution problem and the diesel problem.
Right. They're consuming fuel. The main emphasis for this resolution and for the action that the parents have been pushing, where's the pollution problem?
Mm-hmm.
And because it's well documented that diesel exhaust in particular tends to hang closer to the ground and causes asthma attacks in those kids with asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And it can aggravate, make conditions worse, and so that kids get asthma as well. And we have a huge asthma problem in St. Louis. So just pollution in general and the health of our students is what motivated children. Motivated the parents to be pushing for this.
And then Diana
Borsha. And what has happened just now is that there's a fairly funded clean air project that Grace Hill is managing.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and said, look, we want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration said, all right, well, we'll propose it to the board.
All right, Diana Borsha and her administration.
Diana Borsha and her administration said, we'll propose it to the board.
Okay.
The superintendent had her chief operating officer bring this up, and the president of the board, Veronica O'Brien, had a lot of concerns about this. Concerns about what it costs to have people turn off their engines after 10 minutes. Concerns about...
what it costs?
Yeah, what it's going to cost the district to have people, to have school buses.
As opposed to have the buses run their engines for 25...
Because
buses sometimes can sit in front of a school for 25 minutes?
Yeah,
30 minutes?
Yes.
And they had been running their engines the whole time.
Yes.
And her concern was the cost of turning them off.
The cost of not burning gas.
Okay, I suppose that's a question to somebody in the world, but okay.
Okay.
What are the questions?
There is whether we're going to have people out there, fining teachers or fining parents, and no, we aren't.
So the question was, well, what about the parents and their vehicles?
What about the parents and their vehicles? What about teachers? There, a lot of these questions were... in her words, saying, well, she wants to have a specific program in place to look at before we adopt the policy.
Huh?
And, you know, as I said in my comments, I point out parents have been pushing for this for years, but also that I think it's appropriate for the board to adopt the policy and then ask the administration to develop the program to implement.
As opposed to just wait and wait and wait and wait,
wait
and wait
and
wait.
That's right. That's right.
Wait and do nothing, wait and do nothing, wait. You know, it just sometimes it seems that some folks, unless they bring the issue to the table, unless it's their idea, then it's a bad idea.
And some folks are like that, yes.
1-877-920-WGNU. Now, what about the concern that have been articulated by some parents about the buses are not warm enough for the babies? We had had that question asked a
yes,
few months back,
the show.
And we were both sent emails about what was happening with that. So the parents that are concerned about the buses, and all of us that are concerned about the buses being too cold for the babies.
That is, I don't think there would be long enough for the buses to really cool off much.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been driving across town to get to school to
mm-hmm.
pick the kids up, they've warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, so if they turn off their engine, they arrive 20 minutes early,
mm-hmm.
and they turn off their engine
For 10 minutes, right.
I don't think it'll cool the buses that much.
Okay, let me get to a caller or a question here. Mike.
Yeah, you guys are kind of contradicting yourself about as far as the kids being cold in the buses and then having to turn the engines off.
Well, how is that a contradiction?
First of all, diesel fuel, when it gets below 32 degrees, you can't turn the engine off unless you got it hooked up to electric, because the diesel fuel turns to gel. That's probably what Veronica O'Brien and her crew are talking about.
Well, why don't we ask the question if that's what was asked? Why don't we ask that question before you conclude that? Did Veronica say anything about 32 degrees?
She did not, but the presentation from Deanna Anderson was that that used to be the case with diesel fuel. It used to be diesel fuel would turn to gel, it got too cold, so you didn't turn the buses off. Since that became well known, so basically in recent years, the last 10 years, there have been a lot of refinements in diesel fuel. There's now in St. Louis, there's a low sulfur fuel is what required to sell by the government, and it does not gel.
Well, it's obviously a different kind of fuel, obviously, than diesel fuel that I'm familiar with that runs trucks and so on and so forth.
Well, obviously, there have been changes that have been made in the use of diesel fuel that accommodates people not having to turn them off. So I think they call that modernization.
Just real quick, I just want to say, you're right on, you're right consistent with the way you always are. Now you're turning on Veronica O'Brien. You're just major consistent with turning on people.
And you're major incorrect with every time that you call and say that something is fact. And when it is not, that you're defending people without knowing what the facts are. And the question and the concern that I have always had on this show has been, if you do your job, then we will stand with you. If you don't do your job, we will not. And the question and the concern that I've articulated about Veronica O'Brien and everybody that articulates like her is, you said that you were with us. And you're acting in a way that is not with the children of the district. What am I supposed to do? How inconsistent would it be for me and this show to now say, well, I supported you in the past, and I'm going to stick with you even with your wrong? I don't do that in personal relationships, and I don't do that in business relationships, nor should anybody. I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And my job, as I see it, is to point out the things that are wrong that hurt our district and hurt our children. And this issue about the diesel piece of it, Peter, is... The concern is about the asthma, the concern is about the pollution, and the concern is about being compliant with the law, right?
Yes, yes. And I should end there. Not just is the fuel refined differently now,
mm-hmm.
or is more refined, actually, than it was before, but also the engines are different.
Mm-hmm.
Modern engines are more efficient and than older diesel engines. And they can start.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just this isn't a technological question that the school board really has to address and wrestle with. Because, as I said, it's already city law.
It's federal.
It's already federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And
modernization has made it so.
That's right. That's right. And certainly, the federal rulemaking on that has this whole research component to see whether or not it's technologically possible.
And
it's been law for 3 years.
And certainly one of the things that's going to happen as a result of this resolution is there will be a policy that will be developed, because certainly when, and I can't imagine how many days out of the year where it is below 32 degrees or 12 degrees or whatever it is, that there would be a policy that would be consistent with the weather. As
right.
well. So, I mean, of course, you're going to do things that make sense. And this is about what the law says.
Yes.
Let me get to a few more callers here. Dee.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
and Dr. Brown. You know, with Veronica, her mind has been shifting so much, almost bipolar.
Mm.
But new information is supposed to shift your mind.
Absolutely.
When you get something new, you have to change your strategy and the outcome.
Absolutely.
You know, he hasn't been listening, apparently.
Well, you know, I mean, there are people that are aggressively ignorant.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your call. Carol.
Let's see. I just want to expand upon Liz Brown's comment about the weather and the diesel issue. There's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And since in St. Louis, there are, you know, so many days where it's above 32, and in particular in the summer and spring, on these 95-degree days, you see the buses running their engines for half an hour that, you know, one can still be within the spirit of the law if on the days when it's really, really cold,
absolutely,
they don't turn the buses off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the policy, the practice of it has not been defined yet.
And actually, Wilkinson Early Childhood Center has been a leader in this. Mr. Pendleton has been one of the teachers that's been on the bus yard. And for years and years, they have voluntarily been getting the vast majority of the buses to comply with that city ordinance.
Very good.
And just a quick thing, it's the small particulate that gets created in the exhaust that makes it into the lungs, and that's, you know, what sets off the asthma attacks.
Very good. Thank you, Carol. School board meeting?
Next Tuesday, 7 o'clock at Car Lane.
At Car Lane. Until then, we'll see you the day after.
See you then.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter. And don't forget, folks, a charter school discussion in the next hour. Stay with us.
Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
I applaud your work. I will take it very seriously, and we'll act on it in a timely fashion.
President Bush has gotten a look at it, and later today we will learn what a bipartisan commission thinks should be done to end the violence in Iraq and eventually bring the U.S. troops there home. ABC's Ann Compton has more on the Iraq Study Group's final report.
The Baker-Hamilton Commission delivered copies of its 149-page report to President Bush a full 4 hours before public release. And the booklet states its purpose is to move the U.S. toward a broad, sustained consensus on Iraq. Without consensus, the report says, foreign policy is doomed to failure.
They're especially anxious about what the report might say at the nation's largest army post. ABC's Jim Ryan has more from near Fort Hood, Texas.
Opinions are mixed in this town that hosts the biggest U.S. Army base. Families are eager to see their loved ones return from Iraq, but
if we pull out too soon, every soldier that died over there, what's the purpose? They would die in vain.
Recent Army retiree Wayne Mapp says the U.S. goal in Iraq has become muddled. He hopes for clarification from the Iraq Study Group and the Bush administration. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Killeen, Texas.
Robert Gates says one of the first things that he would do as defense secretary is to go to Iraq and get a first-hand look at the situation there. He is a step closer to getting the job. The Senate Armed Services Committee signed off on him yesterday. Gates will go before the full Senate today or tomorrow. The search continues for James Kim, but rescuers in a remote part of Oregon say it is less likely. The California man could still be alive.
And they have found some elements of clothing they believe to be his, a pair of pants that match a pair of pants that Kim had with him. He actually had two pair, according to his wife, but nothing beyond that.
ABC's Neil Karlinski in Grants Pass, Oregon. Kim's wife and two daughters were found earlier this week. This is ABC News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's Half Price Sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's Half Price Sale this Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
Photos like you've never seen before now come at a price you might never see again.
Epson's ultra-high-definition photo printers automatically correct contrast, adjust skin tones, and even remove red eye for brilliant detail and lifelike beauty in every print. And for a limited time, ultra-high-definition photo printers start as low as $99.99 after a $30 instant rebate. Upgrade to an ultra-high-definition photo printer. To learn more, visit Epson.com. Instant rebates available only at participating retailers.
There's still no sign of an Air Force officer who was last seen 2 weeks ago in Colorado. Here's ABC's Gil Gross.
It was November 19th when Lieutenant Nani Dotson told the brother that she was visiting in Littleton, Colorado. She was going out for a smoothie. She was never seen again. Her 18-month-old child is still at her brother's house. The child's father was supposed to meet with police in San Antonio this week, but Edward Velle was a no-show. Of concern is something neighbor Jennifer Johnson told WOAI-TV. She says when Dotson moved in, she said she was having troubles with her ex, and that if anything ever happened to her, if she was ever missing or hurt, Edward Velle was behind it. Gil Gross, ABC News.
If you like Jamba Juice, you might want to be careful which smoothie you order. The chain is warning customers that the ones containing strawberries could be contaminated with Listeria. That's a potentially deadly bacteria. The drinks were sold at Jamba Juice stores in Arizona, Nevada, and Southern California from November 25th through December 1st. ABC News.
From the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News update is brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, St. Louis County will not be able to offer free tree debris removal to unincorporated areas. David Ron, a spokesperson for St. Louis County's Department of Highways and Traffic, says the county won't receive federal funding as it did after the July storms to offset the cost of the service. St. Louis County residents living in a municipality are encouraged to call their city hall to see if the services offered by the city. Residents living in unincorporated areas should contact their trash provider or a tree service. St. Louis City is offering the service. Those residents should call the forestry hotline, 314-613-7200, for more information. Healthcare officials are urging people to check on their elderly relatives and neighbors during the continuing cold weather. Dr. Joseph Flaherty, a SLUCARE geriatrician, says the elderly can suffer from hypothermia more quickly because the older you get, the less fat you have under your skin. Flaherty says people should check on elderly loved ones every day to make sure they're eating, staying hydrated, and staying warm. The Belleville man is charged with killing a Southwestern Illinois college student. 27-year-old Emmett Lindsay is charged with first-degree murder in the death of 18-year-old Amy Brock. Brock was found dead at her Belleville apartment November 29th. Authorities say she was strangled. In Godfrey, authorities don't suspect foul play in the death of a security guard at Lewis and Clark Community College. 73-year-old Louise Perkins was found dead in a restroom on the Godfrey campus yesterday morning. Madison County coroner's investigators say they found no signs of violence. An autopsy shows Perkins had extensive heart disease. Finally, an Alton doctor's license is suspended because of allegations about inappropriate prescriptions. The Illinois Division of Professional Regulation suspended Dr. Charles Earnshaw's license this week. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Earnshaw allegedly prescribed drugs for three patients without proper examinations or documentation. He's also facing criminal charges of drunk driving. That's WGNU News, brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Hear stirring testimonies from parents who found peace at Christmas despite their sorrows, plus music by Michael W. Smith and a vintage Christmas greeting from Billy Graham tonight at 6:30 on KMOV Channel 4. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil PM. Westbound 70 at Edward Jones Dome is closed due to an accident. Northbound 55 at 4500 Broadway, that accident's been cleared, but traffic's backed up to River de Pere. Southbound 55 at McNutt, there's a accident reported. Eastbound 70 at Edward Jones Dome, left lane's closed. As crews work the accident in westbound lanes, westbound 40 is slow from Hampton to Hanley, and then again from Brentwood through Clayton Wharfs, and eastbound 40 is slow from Clarkson through McKnight. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for slight delays. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Marshall is stop and go. Eastbound 70 from Bryan all the way into Mid Rivers Mall. Look for slow traffic and all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays as well as into the King Bridge due to the morning rush hour. Also, eastbound 70 between Sunbelt and 94, slow traffic due to an earlier accident in westbound lanes, and some traffic lights are not working due to the power outages in the area, so treat those as four-way stops. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil PM. Tonight, spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep when you switch from Tylenol PM to new Advil PM. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly sunny day, high in the lower 40s. This evening, blustery, mostly cloudy. Chance of snow with a low around 15. Thursday, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high only in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny, high around 40. Currently, we have 38 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 38 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. This hour, we're going to have a discussion about vouchers and how they are percolating through across our nation. We're going to be talking in the first half an hour with Robert Boston, the Director of Communications for Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Elliot Mintzberg from People for the American Way to talk about a lawsuit that has been filed against an unconstitutional Arizona voucher program. Let's begin with our discussion with Robert Boston. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you. Talk to us about what happened in the state of Maine. and what the Supreme Court did. Let's start with what happened in Maine first.
Right, yes. Maine is a rural state largely, and some of the more far-flung areas of that state don't have public high schools. So what the state has done is allowed people to send their children to a non-sectarian private high school at state expense. Some people up there sued, saying we want the religious schools to be involved in this as well. What they eventually essentially were doing was suing the state, trying to force the state to give them a voucher plan. And that went against them in all the courts, and now the Supreme Court has said basically we're not interested in hearing this case, so that pretty much is the end of it.
And just to underscore some of the things that you have said, in Maine there are some places where there are no public high schools.
That's right. Some of these small towns and some of the rural parts of the state just don't have enough of a population base to support a school. So they will allow people to either send their kids to another nearby public school in another district, or in some cases, a non-religious private school.
And the argument that was made by the people for that wanted these vouchers, because this was a request that religious schools get the same money that the non-religious private schools were getting.
Yeah, so what's interesting is Maine, along with a bunch of other states, have pretty strict state constitutions that restrict public money flowing to religious institutions, not just schools, but other type of religious institutions, under the idea that the religion should be supported voluntarily, that people shouldn't have to support it through their tax money. So that came into play, and the state of Maine, the officials there said, well, you know, we don't want to pay for these religious schools because it's a violation of our own constitution.
How different are the rules in Maine, how different are they than the rules that, in, say, for the federal government as well?
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court back in 2002 upheld a voucher plan from the state of Ohio. So at the federal level, under certain conditions, you can have these plans. Well, I think what's frustrating some of the voucher advocates is that since that ruling, and you're talking about a four-year-old ruling, there really hasn't been much activity in their favor. State legislatures have looked at the voucher plans but voted them down. People have not supported them at the ballot box. The polls don't show much support for them. So what they're trying to do now is force the states to adopt these plans by having courts mandated, but it just isn't working out for them.
And your organization, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, I'd like to talk about your position on this. I'm talking to Robert Boston. He's the Director of Communications for Americans United for Separation of Church and State. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We are having a voucher discussion this morning. Stay with us. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire,
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I'm having a discussion about vouchers, and part of the discussion begins with Robert Boston, Director of Communications for Americans United for Separation of Church and State. He's joining us from Washington. And Robert, what role did your organization play in this? What role, if any, did your organization play in this case?
We've been involved in the discussion of vouchers for quite a long time. Our organization is nearly 60 years old, and one of the things that spurred the founding of our organization was concern that too much public money was being diverted off into private religious schools. In this main case, we were involved mainly, we represented some parents in that state of Maine who were opposed to this idea of giving aid to religious schools. So they came into the case a little bit later, but we filed legal briefs and made arguments on their behalf.
And who funded the other side of this issue? I mean, the state of Maine's tuition system goes back to 1879, and when all of the private schools in the state were religious, but they still weren't getting the money.
Yes, there was a group called the Institute for Justice in Washington that is really a very kind of far right wing, libertarian conservative type organization that believes in privatization of a lot of social and government services. And they funded the parents who wanted to bring the vouchers to Maine, unsuccessfully, of course, but they were the legal power behind it.
And in terms of public sentiment in the state of Maine, did this case go against the public sentiment?
No, actually, I think the ruling was in line with the public sentiment. The data I have seen on vouchers doesn't show majority support for the idea anywhere in the country. And I think that's one of the reasons why, even though the Supreme Court upheld the legality of vouchers 4 years ago, no significant plans have passed anywhere. And when you put it on the ballot, which a number of states have done, it often loses by a margin of about 2-1.
When people make the arguments against vouchers, because I know that I talk about vouchers a lot on this show, we have a big voucher issue that came up last year and didn't go anywhere in the legislature, and they're going to be back again to push on this. The Walmart folks are going to be pushing that issue. But when you talk to Americans across the country about the idea of the money from vouchers going to private schools and private religious schools, what sense do you get of how Americans feel about that?
I think Americans are opposed to it. All the polling data shows that. Every year, the education group Phi Delta Kappa does a poll where they ask a number of questions about vouchers, and they don't show the support. But more to the point, if you look at the ballot referenda in the states, there have been a number of these over the years, and the vouchers always lose, oftentimes by wide margins. Now, I know that, you know, there certainly are parts of the country where we have a lot of work to do on public education, but what people are telling the pollsters, and I think the politicians too, is that they want to reform the public school system in those troubled areas, not move to a system of privatization.
And when you hear this argument, Robert, about, well, we want choice. Our children need choice. The public schools are trash, and our kids need choice. How do you respond to that?
I think it's important to remember that when you're talking about a public school, a public institution, which is accountable to the taxpayer, and has a school board over it, you know, a democratically elected board, and is subject to various regulations and controlled by the state. You put that up against a private institution, which has none of that, you know, no oversight by the state, no public school board. There's not really an equal playing field there. It's not even. It's uneven. So to say that there's true choice between those institutions, I think, is a bit false, because consider that, you know, the private institutions don't have to accept all the students, unlike the public schools. So they can cherry pick and they can screen out the students that they don't want to take. And that's not choice. If you have the right to go to a school and you know your kid's going to get a place in there, then maybe that would be true choice. But as long as these private schools have all these special rules that they can follow or not follow according to whatever their whims are, it isn't true choice.
And Robert, Has anyone done the studies about... There seems to be a presumption out there that if it's a private school, it's better. What about the studies about how well children do in private schools as opposed to public schools?
That's a good question, because the data cuts against, I think, what most people would assume. The difference between public school performance and private school performance is non-existent. There's a little bit of the studies show a little bit students doing a little bit better in the private schools in the early years, but by middle school and by high school, all those differences vanish. And what's really interesting is, if you think about it, the private schools ought to be doing a lot better because they get to cherry pick their students.
Absolutely.
They get to exclude students that aren't doing well. But they're really not. And that's why I've always argued that what we need is a system-wide approach to resolving some of these problems of public schools in troubled areas. Smaller class sizes, for example. Numerous studies have shown that smaller class sizes and individualized instruction makes a big difference. Unfortunately, the approaches that we do know work are expensive, and right now we just don't seem to have the political will to go down that road.
Who benefits from vouchers?
In my opinion, you get a couple of religious interests that would benefit. The Roman Catholic school system, for example, some of the fundamentalist Protestant academies that are out there, they would benefit because their schools would suddenly start receiving public funding. But in the long run, the folks who would benefit in many cases, depending on how the plan is structured, would probably be those parents who are a little bit more well-off and a little bit more affluent. And that really why it's really
how
one of the
so?
Reasons why I think vouchers are such a bad idea, aside from the church-state angle, is that we do enough in this country to subsidize the affluent. It seems to me they've been on the receiving end.
Oh, you don't think the rich have suffered enough?
Yeah, they've received enough tax breaks probably over the past 5 years and enough other breaks that they've got enough now. And now to start subsidizing their kids' tuition at exclusive academies just doesn't seem to make much sense to me.
So what you're saying is that the people that will be able to use the vouchers are the people that are already able to pay for their kids, and then this would help them, I don't know, buy books for their kids or something like that.
Generally speaking, if you look at private school tuition in this country, what you find is, first of all, there's a top layer of extremely expensive upper class private academies where the tuition might run, say, $12,000 to $15,000 a year. Now, that's going to be way out of the reach of most people. Then you get below that a system of schools that are mainly run by religious institutions that are a little bit more affordable, that are still pretty expensive. I mean, think about, you know, your average lower middle class or poor person. $3,000-$4,000 a year is a nice chunk of change. It's not pocket money. So you're talking about a lot of money right there. Say you get a voucher for $1,000 or even $1,500, you're still looking at $2,000-$3,000 that you might need to come up with out of your own pocket. Most folks aren't going to be able to afford that. So those vouchers are going to benefit the people who are a little bit more affluent and a little bit more well-off. And, in fact, that's what's happened in the cities that have them, like Cleveland and Milwaukee and some of the other places.
And don't we also have to have the discussion, Robert, about, okay, there are only a certain number of private schools. They're only going to be able to take a certain number of kids. What is the cost to the public schools of paying for that handful of kids to go to private schools, and what kind of cost is that to the kid, the overwhelming majority of kids that will
right.
remain in the
yeah.
public schools?
That's something that really bothers me about this whole plan. I mean, you're talking about maybe 10 to 15% of the students being given some sort of a voucher where they can go to another school.
And that's a lot of money. I mean, 10%,
yeah, right.
that's a lot of money.
That's money that could be going into the system to benefit everybody. I mean, what happens to everybody who's left behind? We have to have a system here that's looking at the entire structure. And that's why I said earlier, you know, we need an approach that looks at this thing, not just kid by kid, but the whole system, and says what is working here, what is not working here, what can we do to help everybody? And I think the vouchers, in many ways, they're elitist. They take a small percentage of kids and send them off somewhere, and everybody else just, well, too bad. You're not going to get anything. That's not an answer.
And again, the school, in many of the cases, the money comes directly out of the public school budget, right?
That's right, yes. The school would lose a certain amount of money per student based on how many of the students are electing to take vouchers.
How is this, why is this, from your perspective, a Republican, right-wing Republican issue? I mean, I understand some religious schools making money off of it, but is there somebody else is making money off of this as well?
ultimately, I think the idea here is privatization. And that's always been, you know, more of a conservative thing. You mentioned Walmart a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know this, but the Walmart Foundation is a heavy funder of vouchers around the country. You know, they're paying for a lot of these privately funded voucher plans, and they also lobby in state legislatures to try to get the plans passed in the state. So they're paying for a lot of this.
But they're getting the tax in the state of Missouri. They would be getting super tax credits as a result of doing this.
Well, you know, look at Walmart's business plan. They pay their workers next to nothing. They give them no benefits. They sell stuff as cheaply as they can. They want to move that model into education.
Mm.
They want to open up a chain of private schools because they think there's a lot of money to be made there. Now, I don't know about you, but my feeling is I want the teachers in my kids' schools to be well paid. I want them to have good benefits. I want it to be a well-funded system. I don't want to do it on the cheap. Yet that's how Walmart does things. So I guess there's an idea there. Some groups are thinking that if we can privatize education, there is a lot of money to be made.
We're creating a new market.
Creating
for
a new
us.
Market. And that may be true. There may be a lot of money to be made, but I just don't think it's going to help the kids very much.
Mm. And Robert Boston, where can people find you?
We are on the web at www.au.org. So au.org.
Robert Boston, Director of Communications for Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Eric Mintzberg will be joining me in the next half an hour after this break to talk about a lawsuit that was filed against an unconstitutional Arizona voucher program. Oh, by the way, that was a win. The Supreme Court didn't pay attention or didn't rule on the Maine case. That means that Maine couldn't do it. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham special. Westbound 70 at Edward Jones Dome, that accident's been cleared. Traffic slowing near Potomac and 55. Westbound 44 on Jameson, look for a vehicle on fire right lane. And westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 70 from Old Halls Ferry into New Floors and look for slight delays. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 44 at Jefferson and 55. Look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 55, 70 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. West northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, those approaches are slow. Some traffic lights are not working due to power outages, so treat those as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham special on hearing inspiring stories from parents who found peace at Christmas despite their sorrows, plus special music by Randy Travis and a vintage Christmas greeting from Billy Graham, tonight at 6:30 on KMLV Channel 4. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday for today. Partly sunny skies, high in the lower 40s this evening, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow, low around 15. Thursday, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy throughout the day, high in the mid-20s, and Friday, mostly sunny with a high around 40. Currently, we have 38 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 38 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Get your holiday shop on. Get your big screen television, your little screen television, your treadmill, your tractor. Get it all at Sears at 3425 Union and tell them I told you to.
Imagine a traditional German festival, a tradition centuries old, with artisans, bakers, and local craftsmen displaying their wares in the town square. You're invited to share this rich tradition as the West End Arts Council proudly presents Wintermarkt, Saturday, December 9th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Greg Freeman Park at Kingsbury and the Pear. You'll discover handmade gifts, toys, decorations, baked goods, hot cider, roasted chestnuts, live music, carriage rides, and the spirit of the season. Proceeds benefit local artists and the West End Arts Council. Wintermarkt, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, December 9th at Greg Freeman Park, Kingsbury and the Pear. Call the Skinker to Bolivar Community Council at 314-862-5122. Set back into time at Wintermarkt.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we're having a vouchers discussion. This half an hour we're talking to Eric Mintzberg, Legal Director with People for the American Way Foundation, and he is joining us from Washington, D.C. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. A little over a month ago, you, along with a coalition of groups and parents of Arizona students, filed a lawsuit in Arizona about vouchers. Talk to us about that suit.
Well, in Arizona, for the first time in its history, they passed what was clearly an experimental or pilot voucher program to take public money and allow it to be used in some instances for kids in foster homes or with disabilities, to be used in private voucher schools, including religious schools. Now, there are other programs that, frankly, in our view, need more help to educate kids not only in that category but in other categories in Arizona. But in our view, that law clearly violated the Arizona Constitution, which says very, very specifically that taxpayer money, money taken from my wallet or your wallet if we lived in Arizona, shouldn't be used to support somebody else's religion. And in fact, even the state superintendent of public instruction has conceded that the law may very well violate that constitutional provision. So we, along with the ACLU and a number of citizens in Arizona, filed a lawsuit directly with the Arizona Supreme Court asking them to strike down that program.
Now, this was a law. This wasn't petition-driven. This was something that the legislature came up with.
It was done in the legislature. The rumor is that it was essentially a last-minute compromise in return for doing a little bit better on general public education funding, some of the Republicans in the legislature demanded that there be at least this experimental program, largely so they could do exactly what we're having now, have it tested in the state Supreme Court, and we hope the state Supreme Court will uphold the constitutional provision and say that public money ought to go for public schools.
And if this were to be successful, wouldn't it open the door?
Absolutely. I think there's no question that if this proposal is upheld in Arizona, it would open wide the door for voucher programs throughout the state that could even more seriously damage public education. A lot of states across the country, even though the U.S. Supreme Court has said that vouchers are okay as far as the federal constitution is concerned, a lot of states across the country have provisions in their constitution that either say that that public money shouldn't go for religious schools, or that say, much more simply, public money should go for public schools. And those constitutional provisions have been used in Florida, in a number of other states, to say that these kinds of voucher programs ought not be, cannot be passed, and we hope the same will be true in Arizona.
Now, how is this different, Eric, than a charter school argument?
Well, it's very different than a charter school, because charter schools are public schools. Charter schools are subject to all the same anti-discrimination laws that a regular public school is subject to. They can't pick and choose their students the way private schools do. They're accountable in a very direct, clear way. And we haven't objected to charter schools when they're properly set up and funded. But vouchers are for private schools, which by definition want to pick and choose their kids. They want to use the money for the purposes that they want to use it for, including for religious purposes. And that's perfectly okay if the money's coming voluntarily from the people that are going there or from private scholarships or things of that nature. But the question is, should public money be used for vouchers for those private schools? And we think the answer, both legally and as a matter of policy, should clearly be no.
Shouldn't there be a discussion about it's this great media campaign or this great public perception that private schools have that by going to sending a kid to a private school that you are automatically doing something better for them. Shouldn't there be a discussion, Eric, about what kind of education that these kids that are in foster homes would get in a private school?
I think you are absolutely right. There was an experimental voucher program for disabled kids in Florida, and a number of newspapers there did some tremendous exposés that showed that, in fact, kids were effectively being taken advantage of because there was less regulation and less accountability of the private schools than with respect to public schools. And I think there is an image which voucher supporters have fostered of private schools being superior to public schools that just isn't true if you take a closer look at it. But I think you're absolutely right that there needs to be more discussion of that issue.
And also we have to bring up the issue of race. We have to ask the question of, first of all, what do these private schools look like racially, and what do the kids that are coming from the public schools look like racially, and how are the kids that are, let's say, of a different race than the majority of the people that they would be going to school with, how would those kids be educated?
I think those are also extremely important questions. We know in Milwaukee, for example, where they have had a voucher program for a while, that the private schools in the predominantly African-American areas are a lot whiter, frankly, than the public schools that surround them. And particularly where we have, unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court questioning the appropriateness of voluntary integration measures, the growth of more private voucher schools, in my view, could enhance, make worse segregation throughout our systems.
And also the question also of how are kids of African descent educated? What do they graduate? What is their graduation rate compared to their graduation rate of going to a school where there are more people that look like them and more teachers that look like them?
No, I think those are all very good questions. Again, going back to Milwaukee for a minute, when the program first started, they had a state-sponsored evaluation that was supposed to go on. And after the first, I think, 3 years, years or so, they found that there was no difference, that there was no improvement for kids in the private voucher schools than in the public schools. You know what the state did then? Not change the program, they eliminated the evaluation. And there hasn't been a real evaluation in a comprehensive, fair way of the Milwaukee program in, I think, almost a decade now.
Well, that's kind of like the line from The Wiz, "Don't nobody bring me no bad news."
There you go. That's exactly right. And I think that, again, fortunately, most taxpayers and most legislators have not rushed to adopt voucher programs the way some of the conservatives thought they would after the Supreme Court's decision a few years ago saying the federal constitution didn't prohibit them. But for those places that have, I think it's critical that there be really careful evaluations done of all the things that you said and the effect in terms of taking money away from public schools. And that goes for tuition tax credit programs too.
And who's paying for the lawsuit to support the voucher program?
Well,
I'm
assuming that the state is going to have to pay to defend the lawsuit that we've brought, and therefore that means that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for that.
And is there something else behind this, Eric? Do you get a sense that it was just simply some Republican legislators in Arizona that are kind of experimenting with this, or is there something else behind it? Because here in the state of Missouri, we also have this huge effort from the Walmart folks to try and put vouchers, make vouchers a part of our system.
Yep.
And there's huge Republican, conservative money behind it. Do you get the sense that that's what's pushing the people in Arizona, the Republicans in Arizona as well?
Oh, there's no question that that's a factor. I mean, there's been a movement around the country of exactly the folks that you talk about. It's a terrific confluence of some of the right-wing religious conservatives and some of the more secular conservatives, the Walmart types, who see a big profit area in the area of education. Wow, if only we could get in there, look what we could do. Look what they've done to healthcare, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some concerns as we do about that. So the two groups of very far-right conservatives have found a clear common ground here in pushing vouchers, and we've seen that not just in Arizona, not just in Missouri, but in Florida, in states really all across the country. It's something that we at People For, along with the NAACP and a number of other groups, have tried to speak out and take action against.
And when, again, this is legislatively initiated. Do we see a lot of efforts, Eric, across the nation, petition-wise, grassroots-wise, of people going and putting petitions out there, trying to get issues on the ballot? Bring on vouchers. Let's have vouchers. Do we see a lot of that?
There have been a few of those, but interestingly, In at least in the last 10 years or so, while we've been keeping track of them, not a single one has passed.
Mm.
Each time vouchers have been put on the ballot for people to vote on, they've gone down to defeat. That happened in California, happened in Colorado, Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, a number of other states. When the public gets a chance to look at it and gets a chance to say, do they want to take public money out of public schools and put it in private schools, the answer has pretty much been no.
So what's the timetable for this lawsuit that you all have filed?
Well, we filed a petition directly with the Arizona Supreme Court, and what has to happen is that by around the end of the year, the state has to reply. We respond to that. We're hoping that by the beginning of the new year, the state Supreme Court will decide that it can take the case directly rather than having to take more time to go through lower courts. And our hope is that the Arizona Supreme Court will reach a decision on this before the middle of next year.
Excellent. We'd love to have you back.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Okay. Eric Mintzberg, Legal Director with People for the American Way Foundation. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be right back at you after this. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when wake-up call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual wake-up call blanket drive. The blanket drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
It's time for this hour's WGNU Global News Update, brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline Washington, D.C., scientists using an orbiting NASA telescope say they've watched as a black hole in a galaxy 4 billion light-years away tore apart and digested a star. Researchers using NASA's Galaxy Evolution Explorer say they noticed an ultraviolet flare coming from the center of the galaxy in 2004. Since there had been no ultraviolet radiation coming from the galaxy before then, scientists think the only possibility of creating such a bright flare would be if a black hole were to snare and then destroy a star that passed too close. After 2 years of study, the observing team says the radiation pattern has dwindled, indicating there's little left of the unlucky star. Suvi Gazzeri of the California Institute of Technology hopes the findings will help give scientists a better understanding of black holes. Gazzeri, the lead author of the paper which outlines the black hole observations, says supermassive black holes are believed to exist at the heart of every galaxy, including our own Milky Way. The black hole observations were published in Astrophysical Journal Letters. That's a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Kwanzaa Holiday Expo is back. Celebrate the 40th anniversary of Kwanzaa with Better Family Life, December 9th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and December 10th from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at the West End Community Center on Union at Del Mar. Do your holiday shopping with vendors from around the country. Learn about Kwanzaa in the Kwanzaa House. See Pita Williams, Matif, and many more artists. Don't forget, we have activities for children. And best of all, this event is free. For more information, call 314-367-3440. That's 367-3440.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring, soon it will be Christmas Day.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile.
Welcome back, Silver Bells. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, and get to me. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Is your guest still on the air?
No.
Oh, well, the question I wanted to ask him, I'm sorry I didn't get in earlier, was the fact that isn't the voucher system a de facto way of resegregating schools? Isn't that the unexpected consequence of that situation?
Well, and I guess before you and I discuss that, Dimitri, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Tell me what you mean when you say the schools will be segregated again. What does that mean to you? What are you meaning when you say that?
Well, I mean this, that if you look at our society realistically, it is made up of all different kinds of cultures. When at the beginning of a child's life, it is placed in a situation where they become ignorant of all the other effects and all the other people and all the other cultures, it becomes a biased community, and prejudice just grows like wild weeds. Do you get a sense of what I'm saying there?
Okay, I understand that part of it, but when you say it will be segregating the schools again, how would that work? How do you see that happening?
The way that would work is because of a television program I watch, when people move, you know, they're suddenly hit with lightning and a big lump of money falls on them, they move into high to really expensive homes and exclusive areas, and so then they select private schools that seem to accept only students from those kinds of areas, and so that excludes that causes people who are really talented and teachers fall into being lured to those schools because of the high salaries and so forth. So it's the development of a class situation that starts right at kindergarten.
Okay, so you're saying, if I'm understanding you right, Dimitri, you're saying that what vouchers would do, it would cause white kids to leave schools where there are black kids and go to white
absolutely.
Schools. And black kids would leave black schools and go to white schools.
No, that black children would tend to want to be with their own, and that white kids would want to be with people with the same income and the same affluence. And so.
Well, if they're using a voucher, mostly they're going to places where people are economically different than them, white kids.
Yes.
I guess that would be a consequence of it. I guess that would be a consequence of vouchers. Yes, I guess that would.
Sure. The thing is that we're living in a country that has a class system, more brutal and more effective than it is in countries where they have kings and queens.
Mm-hmm.
And that because of that, happens is it starts right at kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. I think that Dimitri, as a woman of African descent, I was looking at the front page article in the Wall Street Journal today about the fact that books by African authors are all in one place at a bookstore.
Yes.
I like that. I think that is important. I think that it is a important cultural thing for African kids, African men, African women to be able to go to a place and see what their people have done. I think it's an empowering, positive cultural thing that I know where I can take my kids to a place and show them these are the books the black folks have written. You know, let's look at them and let's see what books that we can find that talk about our experience, that talk about our worldview, that talk about things from our perspective. I think that's a good thing. I also think that it particularly given what this nation does individually and collectively and attempts to do to the psyche of African children. We need to arm African children with as many opportunities for empowerment, to feel and see and experience empowerment as we can. So from my perspective, when we have schools, I don't see it as a bad thing for African children to be in a place where there are many, 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 many African children and have African teachers there as well, because let's face it, we're talking about 12 years. We're talking about 12 years and public education, free public education is done. And those are very important years for the crafting and the implementation of a empowerment worldview.
So you're going to smack me down for the next statement I make, and I apologize for
in anticipation.
I'm waiting, cowering in the corner. Could I say that what you're doing is you're talking segregation?
And I know that that is a word that is used, but here's the thing. How is it a negative, because you're using the word segregation in a negative way. How is it a negative thing to have a black radio station that talks about black issues? How is it a negative thing to have these cultural enclaves for people of African descent to find places of empowerment? Where do black folks go? Where do black kids go to see an assembling of things about, positive things about them and their culture? Where do they go?
Well, what you did is that you did it to me again. The fact that I'm a white person, I'm calling a black station, and I a highly respected member of the black community yourself, I had the opportunity to talk to you and to get your viewpoints. So I had that opportunity, and I think black children and should have that same opportunity of being able to...
To get that?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and I got a roll, Dimitri.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thanks for your call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. We've been waiting for months to hear what they've come up with today. The bipartisan Iraq Study Group releases its final report. President Bush got an advance look at it.
This report called The Way Forward. It will be taken very seriously by this administration. This report gives a very tough assessment of the situation in Iraq.
The report weighs heavily on the training that security forces in Iraq are getting, the training being provided by U.S. troops. But Thomas Friedman, a New York Times columnist and author of the book The World is Flat, says that's missing the point.
I don't believe myself that there's a 2 to 3 year solution where we just train a few more troops. The issue isn't training. After all, who's training the insurgents? Nobody. They're doing just fine. They've basically been defeating the U.S. military for the last 4 years.
Friedman says Iraq needs leadership consensus on rebuilding the country for its Sunni, Shiite, and Kurdish communities. About 30 people have been hurt after an explosion at a warehouse today at an industrial area near downtown Milwaukee. Firefighters are trying to bring the fire at the Falk Corporation under control. The search continues for James Kim, the California man who disappeared with his family last week in a remote part of Oregon. Brian Anderson with the Josephine County Sheriff's Department.
Down in the canyon where we believe Mr. Kim may be at is too dangerous for our searchers at night in the dark when it freezes to be searching.
But they are still searching, and Kim's wife and daughters were found earlier this week. Tailgaters can be more than annoying. The accidents they cause can be deadly. Public safety officials in Arizona have a new way now to stop them. ABC's Heather Nauert checked it out.
Officer Anthony Gardner agrees to take us on patrol. Today, he's looking for drivers who are less than 3 seconds behind the car in front of them. That's roughly 3 car lengths away.
He was about 0.9 seconds behind him.
He's still a tailgater, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, I am.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is down 18 points. NASDAQ off 11. This is ABC News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's half price sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's half price sale this Wednesday only, from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
Photos like you've never seen before now come at a price you might never see again. Epson's ultra-high-definition photo printers automatically correct contrast, adjust skin tones, and even remove red eye for brilliant detail and lifelike beauty in every print. And for a limited time, ultra-high-definition photo printers start as low as $99.99 after a $30 instant rebate. Upgrade to an ultra-high-definition photo printer. To learn more, visit Epson.com. Instant rebates available only at participating retailers.
Vice President Cheney is going to be a grandfather two times over. ABC's Ann Compton has details from the White House.
Vice President Cheney's office confirms only that his younger daughter, Mary, is expecting a baby next spring with her longtime partner, Heather Poe. The vice president has been no crusader for gay rights, but he is a proud grandfather of his daughter Liz's five kids. The vice president's office will not discuss details of Mary Cheney's pregnancy. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Pregnancy may not be the time to diet. A British study says women who have a body mass index of 18.5 or lower are more likely to miscarry. Doctors say you can cut that risk a little by eating more fruits and vegetables and by taking vitamin supplements. If you ask Olivia Newton-John, grease isn't the word, it's royalties. The singer and actress says Universal Music Group owes her $1 million on sales of the movie's soundtrack album, so she's taking the company to court. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU news update is brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. I'm Peyton Colston. More than 95,000 Ameren UE customers in Missouri and Illinois remain without power, and about 60,000 of those are in the St. Louis area. Ameren officials say they expect most of the power to be back on by the end of the day today. Some people could be in the dark until Friday. Those in need of a shelter should call the United Way at 800-427-4626. In other news, a fundraiser is planned this weekend for a Belleville police officer who was shot during a police standoff last month. A basketball game between Metro East police officers and firefighters will be Saturday night to raise money for Sergeant John Brough and his family. The event will be held at Lindenwood University's Belleville campus at 2600 West Main Street, 6 till 8 Saturday night. Admission's $5 per person. The number for more information is at Belleville Police, and that number is 618-234-1212. The New Life Evangelistic Center will open its Christmas free store today. Free store opens at 10 this morning at the New Life Evangelistic Center's headquarters on Locust in downtown St. Louis. Homeless and needy St. Louisans are invited to shop for free as long as the store is able to stay open. The city of St. Louis is taking other steps to help the homeless as well. The St. Louis City hosted its annual Project Homeless Connect Day at the Centenary United Methodist Church downtown yesterday, the second annual event. The goal of the event is to provide the homeless with links to social services like medical treatment, counseling, job assistance, and veterans benefits. And a note from the world of sports, the number 16 jersey of St. Louis Blues legend Brett Hull hangs in the rafters at the Scott Trade Center. The Blues retired Hull's jersey before last night's loss to the Detroit Red Wings. Hull's the sixth player in team history to have his number retired. The Blues also announced last night that Clark Street between 14th and 15th around Scott Trade Center will be called Brett Hull Way. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. How can you experience joy at Christmas when life is upside down? Hear the inspiring stories from parents who found peace at Christmas despite their sorrows. That's tonight at 6:30 on KMOV Channel 4. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Westbound 70 on the ramp to Jennings Station Road, disabled vehicle partially blocking traffic lanes. Eastbound 70 at the reversible lanes, disabled vehicle reportedly in traffic lanes. and all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge, you can expect some final delays as the final push for the morning rush hour continues. Some traffic lights are not working due to power outages, so treat those as four-way stops and just use caution to this morning because it's still slick outside. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Stops, Napa Auto Parts. Stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store today and enter to win a number 55 Napa remote control race car. One car will be given away at every participating Napa store. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly sunny today, high in the lower 40s. This evening, blustery, mostly cloudy. Chance of snow with a low around 18. Thursday, blustery, colder, mostly cloudy in the morning, and then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day with a high only in the mid-20s. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high around 40. Currently, we have clouds and 38 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. But up next, it's Open Lines with Liz Brown, so get online, 314-454-0400. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Hello. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. My argument with Dimitri, by the way, I love your show. My argument with Dimitri is that he seems to think that by us trying to reaffirm our own culture and to develop our own culture in our society as we choose is a form of segregation, when truly we are integrated in the white culture because this is the dominant culture. So if they want to integrate with us, then they can send their children to our schools, which would make more sense.
Absolutely. I believe that
they don't know anything about us.
Well, when we look at the way that this country is plays itself out, when we look at that, well, let's look at Boston. Let's go to Boston in the 1970s when the law required that that parents, white parents, send their kids to black schools, white folks just lost their mind. White folks lost their minds about the idea of their kids being bused to black schools. And there is enormous value in the African children going to schools with African teachers and African issues. And the interesting thing is that there is a disservice to white kids going to schools with only white kids.
Right.
Because they don't learn. African kids are going to have to understand white culture because white culture is everywhere in the United States. You know, ask the average African person if they've ever had any exposure to a white person, whether it's with a job, whether it's with at a store, whether it's at a church. Ask the average African person their exposure to white people, then ask the average white person their exposure to African people. And it's going to be the white people don't have exposure to African people, and I do not believe that it is the job of or the responsibility of the community of African descent to go to white people to help white people understand African people. African people need to have a sense of themselves.
That's true. That's
first.
What I'm talking about.
First.
That's the only problem with Dimitri's argument.
Thanks for your call, Ray.
You're welcome.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. My name, again, is Liz Brown. This is, again, the Wake Up Call, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial. The number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Join me. This is Open Hour. Stay.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Graham. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Graham, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about and tend to. Gene.
Yeah. Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to speak briefly about the power outage. I'm glad that Emory UE is being forced by Public Service Commission to correct what has happened last summer and this winter.
Where is the evidence of that, Gene, that they've been forced to correct anything?
You saw the newspaper this morning.
Again, where is the evidence of that, Gene? Articulate it for us.
Well, they have 30 days to correct it. Prelims is for one thing. Lines that are running and prelims are breaking down the lines. And of course, we had an ice storm, and that had an effect. And, of course, in the summertime, we had a storm.
How are they being forced to do anything? The same Public Service Commission ordered them to deal with the tree issues after the last storm. And here we are in the winter months when they've had months to correct this, to deal with this, to address this, to spend money on this, and they didn't. So how are they being forced to do anything?
Well, they gave them an ultimatum, Liz, 30 days to correct the outage. Why senior citizens are in their homes without power?
Or what? 30 days or what?
Or what? Well, then they'll have to take a review about, rate increases,
is that what they said, or are you just filling in the blanks?
Am I filling in the blanks?
That is correct. That's the question before you. Are you just filling in the blanks? Is that what the Public Service Commission said? We're going to reconsider whether or not you get your rate hikes if you don't do this. Did they specifically say that, Gene, or are you filling in the blanks?
Well, Kelvin Simmons was chairperson, along with Harold Crumpton, on the Public Service Commission. And
okay, that's just name-dropping. Answer my question, Gene. Is that what the Public Service Commission said? If you don't do this, then we will reconsider your rate hikes. Did they say that?
No, they did not.
Okay, so then how were they being forced to do anything?
Well, only thing I can say is we'll have to wait and see.
But no, the first thing you said, the first thing that you said, Gene, was that you were so happy that the Public Service Commission was forcing you, E, to do something. And my question to you was what they were being forced to do. And now you're saying that...
Right.
Huh?
They did not put it in black and white.
Then they're not forcing them to do anything. Then what's the force?
Well, do you think that audits should continue?
That's a ridiculous question, Gene. The question that you started this conversation with, you were so happy that the Public Service Commission was forcing them to do something, and now it's been revealed that they haven't been forced to do anything. So what are you happy about?
I'm happy that it's being addressed, that attention is being brought to it.
Attention was brought to it back in the summer, and nothing was done.
Well, this is to reiterate what was said back in the summer.
Yeah, okay. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah. We have a responsibility as citizens not to give folks free passes. You don't be a cheerleader for a team that harms you. You don't go, you're not a cheerleader for the opposite team. You don't praise people before they've done anything. That's ridiculous. That is irresponsible. That is, what's the technical legal word, Howard? What's that technical legal word? Stupid. That's what that is. And I have a story that I'm going to drop on you with Irene J. Smith tomorrow on the Eye on the Loo to show what is happening with UE. And your mouth is going to fall all the way open about who is being punished for what. And I'm sure most of you can guess it ain't UE. But I got a story to break with you tomorrow on Eye on the Loo. UE hasn't, it's like this whole thing, the wealthy have suffered enough. Let's give them some more tax breaks. It's so hard to be a millionaire, a billionaire. Let's change the law to make it easier for them to get more money. It is irresponsible for a grown-up to get up here and to say, I'm so happy that they are being punished when they are not. They are not. The trees were not cut down. They do not spend the money on cutting the trees because they don't want to. And no one has made them do it. Oh, and by the way, they're raising your electric bills. The average citizen out here will have to pay. Now, that's just the average. $6 additional on their bill. That's the average. So that means that most of us, because most of us aren't average, there aren't any average users out there in their world. $6, if the average is $6 additional every month on your bill, what do you think the other folks are going to have to pay? $10, $50, $20, $100. They're asking for a rate hike, and your electricity has been off for over a week. Twice in a year! Because they didn't cut the branches down. Because they didn't spend any money to cut the branches down. They are a public service entity that makes billions of dollars off of us. And they're coming to you. Oh, and they're going to have hearings now. In all fairness, I want to be fair to UE. Because they show ain't fair to us. I want to be fair to UE. They are going to have hearings on this rate, tax rate. Guess what the date of it is? January 2nd. January 2nd. Right after New Year's, January 2nd. You think they're trying to, do you think they are trying to get some public input? Why don't they have them next week? While folks' electricity is still on. And did you notice that when we started the show this morning, at 6 o'clock, there were 30,000 people without power. As of 9 o'clock this morning, there are over 60,000 people without power. Oops. And if they're saying 60,000, it's got to be over 100,000. Nonsense. They have not done anything to deserve the average rate hike of $6 a month. $6 a month. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I wonder. Take a walk with me. Hold my hand as we walk over to Louisiana. As we walk over to the second congressional district, I'm sorry, in Louisiana. The second congressional district. This is a district that has a whole lot of folks that have been devastated by Hurricane Katrina. There will be a runoff race. William Jefferson, Democrat. He was found with $90,000 in his freezer. He has not been charged with anything. He now has to have a runoff election. He finished first. 13 candidates ran against him. He finished first with 30% of the votes. Now he's going to have a runoff race with a woman by the name of Carter. And what is interesting is that Carter is a Louisiana State House representative. She's a woman of African descent. And white people really, really support her. They like her. They don't like William Jefferson. Okay. All right. But you know what her biggest problem is? Why people may not vote for her? Because she was on the Spike Lee documentary about when the levees broke, about what happened in New Orleans. She was on that. And she was criticized. Remember when the white parish of Jefferson Parish had sheriffs with guns keeping people from crossing the bridge, not letting any black folks in? She criticized them for that. And guess what? That's being held against her during this election. How is that held against you? How is that held against you for criticizing them for doing that? Huh. This is an amazing world we live in. It's an amazing world we live in. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back to take your calls and comments.
Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home. They've got such great deals. I'm telling you, Jerome Williams has such wonderful deals down there at Sears at 3425 Union. Go on down there. Take a walk around. Take a look around. Talk to Jerome. Wonderful deals, wonderful specials, things that you can't find at the mall. Get on down to 3425 Union Sears and tell him I told you to.
Now Goldie's Music presents the ultimate 50s vocal group collection called Doo-Wop Greats. Yes, you get the Cadillacs, the Platters, the Crests, the Del Vikings, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the Rivieras, the Kleptones, the Chantels, the Flamingos, Little Anthony and the Imperials, the Olympics, and the Five Satins, plus many more. Yes, you'll be singing along to the greatest doo-wop songs ever recorded.
I wonder who
doo-wop greats. All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest quality. Call now and add doo-wop greats to your collection. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets.
Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Barumpa bump bum. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Guess what?
What?
I got a disconnection notice. They're going to turn my lights off tomorrow.
You got a disconnection notice. They're going to turn your lights off tomorrow.
I'm going to pay it today.
When was your electricity off?
Yes.
And how long was your electricity off?
One night.
They made sure that they got the disconnection notices out, right?
Yeah.
And that's something.
Have a good day.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up and get to me. Tina.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning. I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I first wanted to say my father actually told me about your program, and I've been listening to it every morning since then. I really like it.
Well, thank you.
You know what? I'm in Jennings, and my electric is still off. And I am waiting for it to come back on so that I can call them and really tell them what I think about them. But I know that that's not the most effective way to go about this. And so I was really calling to, see if you had any advice or what people might be doing to try and be effective to, I mean, this is just ridiculous. And we called them because we got hit real hard with both of the storms this summer.
Right. I live near Jennings. I live right at the end. I live right at the end of the city of St. Louis. So
okay.
I was hit with you all in the electric part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my electricity was off for almost the entire time.
Yeah, ours too. Mm-hmm. And I just can't. And it has been hectic. But we called them and asked them to cut down the trees in the back. You know, four times I called. And, of course, nothing was done, and that's why the transformer caught on fire with this ice storm. So, you know, I'm just calling for some advice. You know, I don't know.
Here's one of the things that can be done. One of the things that can be done is that this meeting, this hearing that is going to be held in January, the first part of January, I believe it's January 2nd, when they are coming to the community asking for a rate hike. I think it's important to participate in that.
Right.
I think it is very important to participate in that. And another way of dealing with this or participating with this is also what we do with the International Urban Institute. When we meet every Saturday, we have a Public Utilities Committee that is also writing the letters, organizing on responses to things just like this. They are coming to us with another rate hike. And I think also one of the ways that collectively is always more powerful than simply individually,
right,
is a campaign of getting to our elected officials to have them come down on UE and to pressure them to, because there, again, there's going to be a story that we report tomorrow on Eye on the Lou that can give you some more direction about what you can do with your legislators this very issue.
I heard you say that. Is it just during throughout your program?
No, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay.
7 o'clock, Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith.
Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you,
Tina.
All right. Good luck. Bye bye. You're on the Wake-Up Call.
Good morning, my beautiful sister. How you doing?
TC, good morning.
First and foremost, that Earthen Kit Santa Baby, the first time I heard it was on your program, and now you hear it everywhere. So I guess you got a lot of people listened to Liz Brown over the years. And this, like you said, is amazing. They tried to turn criticizing UE, meaning you coming down on these workers that's out here working hard and trying to do the job. It seemed like the same thing they tried to do with the war. You was criticizing the war. They turned that around and said you was criticizing the soldiers. And now you're just supposed to skip down the yellow brick road twice in less than 6 months. And it's obvious that maintenance had not been done, and it was done that way intentionally. They cut back on it intentionally. And when you criticize, you have some folks, well, be thankful, you spoil, you this, you that. When you pay your money for service, no one forced UE to be a public service company. And I think people need to do more of that. When you pay your money, you deserve the best service possible. And they need to be criticized. They need to be held to task.
They need
people
to be punished.
Need to stop making excuses for these clowns who's making all this profit and not doing the things that they should be doing.
They need
just
to be punished. Absolutely.
All right. As always, young lady, I love you.
Thank you. Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. Timothy.
Yes, Ms. Brown. This is Timothy Clark.
Yes, Timothy.
I wanted to put this out on the air. I'm paying back child support, and I'm current on my back child support payments, but yet they put a lien on my bank account. I'm current on all of it. I've been paying it back for about 2 years, and current and still paying it back because I don't want them to have a reason for what they have done.
And did you get a lawyer?
Well, I owe them $2,000, and the attorney wants $1,500.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's a motion that could be filed to keep them from taking the money out of your account.
Well, what I have done is request a hearing.
Okay.
And it's been about 90 days. At first they told me that it was going to take 2 weeks. It has been 90 days.
You need a lawyer. You need a lawyer.
Well, I just wanted to put that out there in case somebody else is going through the same thing as me.
Well, again, you need a lawyer. You need a lawyer. Thanks
all
for
right.
your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877 is my long distance number. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you want to catch a show that you've missed, you can do that by going to whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And it's an amazing world that we are living in. It's an amazing world that we are living in. I'm looking at this list, folks. I'm looking at this list of the people. We talked about the Baker Report yesterday on the show. We had a guest on to talk about the Baker Report. And I'm looking at the members of the people that are serving on this the makeup of this Iraq study group, this Baker study group, Baker Commission. And I have no problem. I have no quarrel because, you know, hopefully we all get old. Okay. I appreciate the wisdom of our elders. I appreciate that. But honest to goodness, the youngest person on this Iraq study group is 68. The oldest person is 79. Everybody, and we're talking about 68 is the youngest. Then we go to 71, 74, 75, 76 years old. And four Democrats, five Democrats, and five Republicans. I don't know. It just really looks like a bunch of insiders making up this Iraq study group. One woman One African man. 1-877-920. Oh, did you know that Sandra Day O'Connor is a Republican? 1-877. Sandra Day O'Connor is a Republican, and she's on the commission. 1-877-920-WGNU. Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
Pretty good, and you? You know what I just heard you say, I'm sitting in my truck kind of laughing. That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. Those people need to be in retirement somewhere, sitting down trying to enjoy the rest of their lives.
Well, but part of me also is like, okay, I appreciate the wisdom of our elders, and a lot of cultures treat their elders better than our culture does. It's just, I guess, looking at all of these faces, they look less like elders and more like insiders. And people with political agendas that don't bring the wisdom of their age and experience to us, but simply bring their political agendas. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, I just want to make a real quick question on Amron Uy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? The actions that they're taking is nothing but criminal.
Mm.
There's people that have died behind this.
Fact.
And we're out here working hard every day, trying to do the right thing, paying our taxes and all, and you take my money and you don't do and give me the services that I'm paying for.
I'm telling you, you need to listen to the show tomorrow at 7:00. We break in the story about Amron Uy. It's worse than what you know.
You know what? I would be there like every morning, Ms. Brown. I wake up in the morning and listen to your show. That's my routine, and I've been doing it ever since you've been on the air, and I've been enjoying it. I'm addicted to it. I drive a truck, and I'm in here listening to you until you go off.
All right now.
But I'll be there listening.
All right, and you're going to be at the blanket drive? Going to drop a blanket off?
I'll drop out several blankets.
All right now. Thank you so much.
Okay.
See you on the 15th.
Thank you, too.
All right, 1-877-920-WG, and you don't forget about our blanket drive, and then also our blanket drive work volunteers meeting is Friday at 6:00. Here at 265 Union on the first floor. I need your volunteers. We're going to be giving the T-shirts out, taking some T-shirts orders, all of that, and giving assignments out. Oh, my goodness, we need you for the blanket drive on the 15th. This Friday is the volunteer meeting at 6:00 here at 265 Union, 1-877-920-WGNU. Chuck.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I had a thought about Amron Uy.
What was your thought?
Everybody stand down. What do you think about that? Not pay him.
Not pay him?
City and countywide.
Mm.
Let's face it. The Public Service Commission, I've called them during this recent crisis. It's an act of God. Sure it is. Perhaps. But what have you done to correct the problem?
Mm.
They had a week advance notice on this one?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
I have yet to see an adjustment on my electric bill for July, and I doubt if I'll see one here.
Mm-hmm.
But if thousands and thousands of people opt to pay them until they get these things corrected, I don't know what effect it is, but let me hear your thoughts.
I got to think on that one. Just the mechanics of it. I got to think on that one, because the ultimate response is turning your electricity off.
Yeah, but hundreds of thousands of people.
I understand. Let me think on that. Let me percolate on that for a minute.
As far as the blankets, for sure you're right.
See you on Friday.
All right.
Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
Holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Revion feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December, New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
It's time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline, New York, New York. People with disabilities are having a hard time accessing the Internet's top websites. That's according to a new survey commissioned by the UN. The survey showed that many of the world's most popular websites fail to meet international standards to allow access for the disabled. British technology firm Nomenza looked at 100 popular sites in 20 countries and found only 3 that met every standard for disabled access. Among the common problems found in the survey was the need for a computer mouse for access, which denies access to about 10% of Internet users. Many sites also fail to offer text descriptions of graphics, which enable the blind to tell what they are through programs that turn text into speech. Poor use of color on some websites makes it difficult for people with eye impairments, such as color blindness, to read them properly. Announcing the results of the survey at the UN, Nomenza's Leoni Watson said website creators need to do more to become fully available to people who cannot use a mouse or have impaired vision. That's WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
Robin, good morning.
I'm so glad to listen to you, the Wake Up Call, because my lights just got back on yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I was listening to the caller before me, and I had a problem with Amber U also, and Channel 2 News. I live in the city of St. Louis, the heart of the city, in the JBL area. And I just kept hearing about Kirkwood and Chesterfield and Belleville and they really didn't, you know, concentrate on the city and what, you know, what areas they were, you know, restoring electricity to. And, I mean, did you feel that way also?
Absolutely. And I also felt that there seemed to be less attention overall to this power outage than the power outage this summer. It felt like they were giving, that there was a free pass, for UE this time around.
That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually called my alderman, Mike McMillan, and, you know, I just let him have, hey, we live in this area, you know, we live nowhere from Ameren UE. Why are we still waiting?
And what was said to
you? And about 2 hours later, our electricity was back on.
All right.
Thank you, Ms.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
1-877-920-WGNU. Mary.
Yes. Could you give or to tell us where we can get the names of the people on the committee that will be voting for Baker? Or maybe we can get at least the Democrats for sure.
Okay.
And, okay.
That will be doing what?
That will be voting for Baker to be the... They're going to, I think he's up for Rumsfeld's job. And if we could get the names of the people who are on the committee to vote for him.
Okay. Gates is the person that has been.
Who did I say? Baker?
You said Baker. Gates. Yeah, Gates.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's what, yeah, threw you off.
Okay.
Gates
is the person that is being he's on Capitol Hill probably as we speak, being
mm-hmm.
questioned by the committee members. I'm sure I can get you the numbers of them. Absolutely.
Okay. Nate, you know, we need to know who they are, too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
That'll be fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. 1-877-920-WGNU.
You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, I was checking the history books, and for all presidents that have served in the last 100 years, all presidents that have served 8 years, they've all lost their congresses in the 6th year, except for Mr. Clinton. Now, he lost it in his 2nd year. What I'm getting at is I think this 2-year sabbatical by the Republicans is going to be the best thing that ever happened for them. I think they'll win everything back.
Does that make you feel better, baby?
Okay. About that, yeah.
Oh, keep telling yourself those sweet little lies. You know, keep telling yourself those sweet little lies. If it helps you make it through the day, keep on being the Republican that you are and keep on lying to yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. Telling yourself those sweet lies. It wasn't about us. It was history. That's what it was. We didn't lose because of the election of people, by the voting of people. Oh, no. We lost because history defeated us. Okay, tell yourself those sweet lies. If that gets you through the night and gives you the ability to slither to the next place you need to go to, more power to you. And I imagine it would be too hard to ask you to stop lying. It would just be too much to ask you to stop lying. So, you know, go ahead on. Do what you do. Carfo.
Liz.
Hello to Carfo.
Man, you know what? When I hear people like that, now I understand how Hitler got over on the Germans and told all those people those lies, and they believed it.
It was history. It's kind of like the reason that it was like the whole dirt argument that we won when George Bush won, the states with the most the largest states voted for him. Okay, so dirt won, you know, as opposed to people. Come on.
You know, when I hear stuff like that, it's beginning to be frustrating, because I sit out here and I look at what's really going on. I see what's really happening in Iraq. I see what's really happening in America. And, you know, what happened to Mr. Foley?
Okay.
What happened to the evangelical priest?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to, you know, Donald Rumsfeld?
Tom DeLay.
You know, Jen Lay.
Mm-hmm.
Gilling. Let's go back to the savings and loan debacle that the Bushes were in on. You know, I mean, what are they listening to? I mean, I know what they're listening to. They're listening to Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly.
Who love lying.
Liars on the planet.
And make money at it.
Big money at it, because they got people like this guy that just got off just slurping that stuff up. But that's not what I called you about. You just sidetracked me. Have you ever been to Georgia?
Absolutely. I have people in Georgia.
All of the trees that's in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have this problem in Georgia, because the power company down there regularly goes out and trims the trees, because they want to provide a service to their customers. Because aren't customers number one, Liz?
Or the law requires that they do so.
Well, yeah, that too.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure it's not from the bottom of their capitalistic heart. The law or some legal entity or some political entity insists that they do right.
America, y'all better start thinking about putting people first and quit putting profits and quit putting our big corporations and quit putting your president, your senators, and your congressmen before you because they work for you. And they're not doing their jobs, and we need to get rid of all of them.
Mm.
Have a good one.
Thanks for your call, 1-877-920-WGNU. Juanita.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay. You eating out to my door, I think it was last year, anyway, to trim my trees, and my power still went out in July. I just got it back on yesterday, went out again this month. I mean, yeah, last month.
Well, they probably did knock on your neighbor's door and trim their tree.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't they cut the whole tree down? I mean, this don't make sense.
Well, no, they're not cutting everybody's trees.
That's what they're doing.
All right.
It doesn't make sense at all.
All right now.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Listen, folks, please don't forget, there's a meeting on Friday of the Blanket Drive of Volunteers. Address 265 Union, time 6 o'clock. That's right here on the first floor of the station here, 265 Union. Be here 6 o'clock on Friday. We're going to have our volunteers meeting, our only volunteers meeting. We really need you here. The Blanket Drive is on December 15th. That's Friday. And then the next Saturday, the following day, we will be delivering the blankets. Please go out there and get your $5 blankets. Get your blankets. We need you to get your blankets. And I will see you tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and stay strong.
I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight.